Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're as poor as.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you give me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little dear lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock today from the bowels of Gillette Stadium.
Yeah,
now we're waiting
bitches.
For food, but we're ready to go. OTAs yesterday, a lot of stuff on the web. First glimpse of Tom Brady, at least talking.
which is always good.
Exclusive. No, he's ready to go, and that was on Patriots Today last night. You guys did a yeoman's job putting the updates after the OTAs up on Patriots.com and on the blog. Looking good. And, Doc, are we going to do any new opens? You working on any new opens?
I was waiting until the season started.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That means don't wait till the season starts.
So you got anything in mind?
How about food?
I got a couple things in mind.
What are the themes?
How about Sopranos?
Can we go back to the fat guy?
No, we
How
already
about
did
food?
Sopranos. We had Sopranos.
We had a Sopranos
Oh,
one?
Yeah, we had Soprano open. We had a
we had an old Sopranos one. I was thinking Office Space.
Office Space.
Major League.
Yeah.
And those
Fred didn't like that
those
one.
Those are just a couple right now.
You know, as long as we're going back in time, you know, let's get a Rocky One open. I mean,
how about
anything that happened like in the
layup.
Last decade?
How about South Park?
We could do South Park.
I mean, there's an Eric character on South Park.
It's true.
And
Eric
it's
Cartman.
Flat out funny.
But you are Cartman, and then I'm the fat guy, so we all end up being Cartman.
Cartman's funny.
That's
I'm okay.
okay
with an all Cartman opening. He is the show. No?
Well, I think
I agree.
I think it's time for some new opens.
Very funny, you guys.
So
you'll get him.
Is Tacoma good at that? Can he do those?
Doctor doesn't know because he doesn't let him do anything.
Doc won't let him anywhere near the board.
It's not true.
And now today,
that's why we hired him because he had experience with the board.
And today he even screwed up with the.
Well, I'm not putting this on him.
Oh no!
Based on history, he's done a fine job. I blame the emailer Sawyer in Waterloo who screwed up lunch.
You're calling out a
I'm
guy
calling
who
him out.
Claims he
rebegin
was
that
buy
feud
lunch.
With the guy in Seattle or whoever used to
Shannon.
Fight him. Shannon.
Scripper
Seattle.
Says, "Do Aqua Teen Hunger Force."
That's stupid. I don't like that one.
Wow.
I don't even know.
I don't
what
even
it
know
is.
What it is.
It's some dumb cartoon on Cartoon Network with this. this food as cartoons. It's like a shake, a slice
of
pizza.
Oh, the shake. I've seen a picture
dumb.
Of it.
Of course you didn't know what it was, and Eric did.
Wasn't that tied into that, like, bombing scam
yes.
thing
in Boston,
Boston,
like
and,
a year ago?
Oh, that
yeah.
guy.
The viral advertising.
Yeah.
And the little
it's
guy.
A dumb cartoon to
I
begin
know exactly
with. Sorry,
what
strippers. I don't
now.
Mean to offend you if you like the show, but it's just, I don't know.
I think all right. probably just going off the food.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. OTAs yesterday. What do you guys think? You guys were out there for like 3 hours.
First of all, it was great.
It was great to be outside.
Absolutely great to be outside. Perfect weather.
But not but much to speak
of. A couple of veterans sprinkled in with all the new guys, led by Fred Taylor. Yeah. He was out there.
What's his nickname?
Fred Taylor?
The Tool Man? I don't know.
I see what you did there.
Does he have a nickname?
Like I figured he must. I mean, generally, guys been around that long that are that good.
Idaho neighbor.
But I thought the most interesting thing was Paul and I talked to our Binky linebackers, Sean Crable for Paul and Vince Red for me.
Yeah.
And I've cut ties with Vince Red after that conversation, but that's another
topic.
Rightly so. And both guys talked about getting stronger in the offseason with your guy talking about his legs, his toothpicks.
Specifically, the first question I asked Fred was, you know, just as generic as you could get about the offseason, what you've been doing, what's it been like. And he said, just working constantly with Harold and Mike. Harold Nash and Mike Wojcik, on my legs, trying to get my legs bigger and stronger.
So PFW, right again, his legs were too small.
So Fred and Andy have been clamoring for the, you know, talking about how small those legs are and how they can't possibly play with those legs, evidently. Something's being done.
Well, the
about
good
it.
News is that. The bad news is when he first came out, he had his sweatpants pulled up and his legs are still tiny.
I did think he looked.
He may be one of those guys that just can't.
I did think he looked bigger, though, didn't you?
And I also, I'm going by the calf. He may have bulked up in the quad, and the quad is the power muscle. The quad and the hamstring is the bulk of the strength in the leg.
So he, you know, I talked to him for a little bit.
Can you not talk about anything serious on
the
show?
That's where the needle goes when you do the little squirt. Right.
That's the glute.
Oh, sorry. Anyway,
Gluteus Maximus.
Andy Red talked about
the
upper body, right? And that's what we all talked about.
Bulking
how he was
up.
Surprisingly not as developed in the upper body. But you want to explain why? Maybe
because he said, to
time?
Be honest with you, I don't really like the weight room. That was the first part of what made me cut ties. Then the second part was when I asked him, but you had a year now, and you come from Virginia where there's some similarities and everything. Do you feel more comfortable in the defense and the scheme? And he said, to be honest with you, no. So I'm offense red.
Wow. Okay.
That combined with the fact that Crable was getting all the real reps on the edge, and Vince Red was over with like scout team playing.
For whatever that was
back.
Worth, I don't know.
If I was coaching,
it's worth something.
If I was coaching athletes, or really anyone that has to
you
talk
are,
to the
don't
media,
you coach lacrosse?
I would always, coaching them to, you know, deal with the media.
Oh.
One of the first things I would teach them is don't say to be honest with you. I mean, I'm assuming that you're always honest.
But
with
some
me.
People, it's just it just part it, of
it's
their
a crutch.
Speech. Yeah,
yeah, like Gerard Mayo uses that for every answer.
Paul's
be
is,
honest
I was going to say.
Be honest
or
with
I was thinking.
He does that for
you.
But
every
time. It makes you think that in his mind, there's an option to not be honest.
Well, but like to Andy's point, Mike Vrabel always used to begin his answers with,
Fred, did anyone teach you to not say all right? I mean, we all have our little
things. All right.
We all have our little things.
I know, but to be honest with you,
but
is
a
not
lot
a
of people,
thing.
A lot, I understand what your point is literally, but a lot of people use that as sort of a crutch phrase to get into anything, you know, like Mike,
to be
Mike
blunt
Grable.
Is probably what they mean.
To what?
To be blunt.
To be blunt.
Which is different from
right.
To be honest.
Right.
Frankly.
Frankly.
I don't.
And they're
kind of
telling you that I could gloss over it and say, yeah, I feel better in year two because I've been here. But I'm not going to do what you would expect me to do. Mm. I'm going to be honest with you. So there is some value in it.
Yeah.
It's
I don't
prepping
somewhat
you.
Semantic, but yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yep.
One thing I did notice. And I know I had my binky, too. I kept an eye on Kevin O'Connell. And remember last year when he came and we kept saying that he looked very stiff and mechanic in the way he was throwing because he was thinking too much about having it change. I noticed that his motion looks a lot smoother this year. He looks a lot more confident back there. He's throwing the ball without thinking about the throwing motion of the ball. So he looks a little bit better. He got most of the reps as the number one guy without Brady being there.
The one problem I still have with him, and I talked to Paul about this, it seems like the closer he has to throw the ball to the line of scrimmage, the less accurate he is. When he's throwing like a 20-yard out, it's perfect.
Well, that's exactly
and
what
then when he's dumping, and I, as I said to Paul, when he said, like my boy, I said, and you know what they did with your boy? They asked him to leave the team.
Well, it's interesting. We talked about Elway last Tuesday, and one of the things that he had a problem with early in his career and really almost never got over it was just firing the ball 10 yards away.
And that might be what O'Connell's is. When he tries to take some juice off it, for some reason he aims it and can't. Because he also, when it's a short pass, it's generally a little bit off target, and it has a downward. I used to make fun of Ken Dorsey for this. It leaves his hand, and the nose of the ball is pointed down instead of on a line towards the target. And I don't know if that's something he can work out of, but it's going on a year now that I think that's been an issue. And in this offense, where
they throw a lot of those passes,
you know, Wes Welker and all those
in any offense
balls.
Today, because you can't succeed if you can't throw the ball parallel to the line of scrimmage, because that's where half the throws get made nowadays.
And
you
know,
a little side rant for Paul Perillo.
I think Dave Thomas made it look very easy out there.
He did.
He was actually there this year to make it look easy.
And I think that Paul thinks that Alex Smith is a plotter.
And Andy agreed with me, so don't throw me
under
the bus.
Less athletic than expected.
I was expecting a much smoother looking, pass pattern.
The reason he doesn't look that way is he takes short steps. He's like a short stepper. He doesn't glide.
Right, and that makes him
ain't
a
no half
step. It makes him look like a plotter.
Big Daddy Kane.
No, it makes him a plotter.
Well, I don't know.
Doesn't make him look like one. It makes him slower and not as quick as some of the other guys who are running the same drills.
Okay.
Maybe he is.
Looked like he had fine hands.
I think that he can catch the ball.
If you could put Watson's speed and quickness with
his
hands.
Well, that's why everyone thinks that Watson had the potential to be this great, because he's got freakish, athletic ability for a man his size.
I thought Bill's criteria for receivers was to get open and catch the ball.
Right.
Well, it seems like he didn't listen to his own checklist of taking people.
In terms of Watson, he really doesn't do either.
I don't think he has a natural feel for being a receiver.
Either.
And the two things that come for a natural receiver are finding the opening in coverage and catching it. And he does neither of those naturally.
But, I mean, that doesn't mean that I think Alex Smith is a waste of time here. I just thought that he looked a little slow. I was expecting a more athletic-looking tight end than the one I saw yesterday. I don't know.
All he is the first-round pick, right?
Just a first impression, that's all.
Okay, what else did you see out there? How about linemen? I thought that Vollmer looked in great shape.
You thought he compared to Ogden Nash?
The way he looks, the way he looks in the stands is very similar to Jonathan Ogden.
And you do not have a mental image in your mind of Jonathan Ogden.
No, because
you're saying
his upper body looks really stiff. Well, if you look at Jonathan Ogden, he looks stiff too in the upper body.
I don't have a mental image of Jonathan
Ogden.
I don't think you do.
Well, maybe you should study up a little bit more on offensive line play, particularly tackles. That's the money position.
From the Ravens.
And you should know that, like Fred. Yeah. I don't know it, but Fred does. Why are you taking it away from him? It's not right, Andy. It's not right.
Yeah.
But we saw nothing with offensive linemen yesterday because...
All four of us saw nothing.
Well, it's hard, but the one thing that... They were closer to us than they usually are. Usually they're in the far left corner.
Well, they moved down there.
They were close, but working without pads, you can't see
absolutely anything with those guys. Whereas at least with receivers, you can see them running in and out of routes, catching the ball. Quarterbacks are throwing it. Running backs, you can see how quick their feet are and things like that. It's really hard to see anything in terms of linemen on either side of the ball. We got a chance to see some secondary guys cover. Terrence Wheatley had a nice battle with Wheatley, made a terrific play.
The two of them had the play of the day. It was like a slightly underthrown ball, deep ball by O'Connell, and Wheatley had the position. It was slightly underthrown.
Now, if it had been anyone else, would it have just been flat out underthrown, or because
it was a combination of a little underthrown, and Wheatley had good position on the play, and he came. He had two hands on the ball coming down with it, but when he hit the turf, Aiken had. His hands are on the ball, too, and they were both sort of like fighting for like a good 10 seconds for the ball before they got broken up. Excuse me.
And they were rolling around a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there was a little perturbs to that.
Yeah.
It looked like there was.
But it looked like Wheatley had the interception.
I think I heard Belichick yell, get off of him.
Get up.
Get up, stay up or something.
Yeah. And it looked like Wheatley had the ball cleanly when he came down, but when they got separated, Aiken had the ball. So it was a good play by both sides, kind of.
Dude stacked. Aiken's a big dude. I could see him winning a tug of war.
And he made a lot of nice
catches.
Every
time I see him, I say, who's that tight end? And then I remember it's him.
Yeah.
I always think he's a tight end.
He's big. He's a big wide receiver.
Strong hands, too.
After the practice, B-Lo had a one-on-one with Tank Williams. He's looking good. He's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've said all we need to say about that.
No, he just said that.
Because I didn't see that. Did he say anything?
Not really. I mean, B-Lo asked him, are you more prepared this year than you were last year at this time? Because, he said, not really. I'm just out
Jesus
there.
Christ. All these guys have been here for a year, didn't do anything.
How about Brady? You want to talk about what Brady said?
Do we change the whole system? Are we now running like exclusively a 4-3 one gap shooting system?
No linebackers, Bill said. Change it up.
Because it seems like no one really has any idea from last year to this year. And usually that year one to year two is supposed to be that big, huge jump. And that includes veteran players who were in the system for 1 year to the second year. Why is everybody clueless? I'm a little concerned.
But Eric wants to get to his quotes that he printed out and brought
down.
Yeah,
we need to have these verbatim.
You know, the exclusive to the craft-owned in-house Oregon on Patriots.com, owned within the facility.
That was a nice
whatever
whiny,
word they used.
That
to
was a nice whiny, smarmy, little snarky Florio tone.
Put
I liked
that
it.
Brady said in a statement issued on the team's website.
That's flat
not
out
a statement.
That's flat out wrong. He didn't issue a statement.
No, he didn't.
He spoke to somebody.
It was an interview on Patriots Today.
BS.
I don't know what the big deal is.
Now, just to let the...
Because everybody wants a piece of Brady.
But he wasn't out in the field, so
right.
No one could get him.
But to listen...
No, but the, you
but
know
it
how
wasn't,
these people
But
are.
It wasn't a statement, is my point.
Right.
That's it's flat out incorrect. It was an interview that
You're
one
right.
news source was able to garner
mm-hmm.
that others didn't. It wasn't that he put a statement out on a website. That's not. That's really as inaccurate as you could get. But locally... A lot of our listeners might not know because, you know, Mark Farinella writes for a very small paper, the Attleboro Sun Chronicle. He was very critical of the Patriots and us.
Was he?
Us in particular.
Why? What
on a website here, Boston Sports Media. I'll give it a plug, maybe because people around that don't live around here probably don't know about that website. And
what do we do now?
Well, just the fact that we had a Tom Brady interview on the website. And
he
it was another example of the Patriots controlling the media, controlling the message.
Listed Patriots Today.
And having their house organ or the house organization, whatever.
Well, I don't think the fans care.
No, I don't
fans
think.
Fans just want to hear from Tom
right.
Brady.
Yeah. I really don't think
they
don't
care where they
I don't
hear
think
from.
Most
Only
media
the old
people
media
care
curmudgeons
either.
Care.
Yes.
You know?
So, you
insignificant
know.
Old media curmudgeons.
Wow.
Don't
yeah.
care.
Wow. I mean, you know, you put it
shot
on Patriots.com. That's where people want to.
Well, I mean, I really don't think the Globe and Herald were up in arms yesterday
right.
over that. I mean, maybe
they
I'm
mentioned
wrong.
It, but
maybe
I don't think they were up in arms about
but
it.
But I think that's proof that they weren't up in arms about
right.
it. They both kind of wrote it exactly the way it was. On Patriots Today, which is a video show on the Patriots website, Brady spoke, and Eric, if you want to read
yeah,
it.
Before you get to him, I just want to say these were total. All Brady news yesterday was totally misrepresented by a lot of people. There was an AP story on NFL.com. I believe the first link on like the main page was like O'Connell takes bulk of reps mm-hmm. as Brady rehabbing
camp
Brady
or
misses
didn't take
practice
part.
Or something.
Yeah.
And then in the next play, it said, you know, Brady missed the he didn't miss it. He was not invited.
Right.
It was not for
did
him.
Did Adalys Thomas miss
right.
it?
Right.
Did
Wes Welker or Randy Moss?
But that's the part. It didn't say all those other
I know.
Yeah. And all it said was Brady wasn't there.
So
right.
misleading.
Right.
And it's the AP,
very
which is
misleading.
Supposed to be straight
But it gets
news.
You to read it.
I think the reason why that happened,
but is that
too?
What the AP is supposed to be about, or is that what the National Enquirer is supposed to be about?
No, but I think we kind of saw this coming yesterday when we went out to practice because we said, gee, I wonder why all of these people are here and if they know that Tom Brady's not going
right.
to be here. There was a ridiculous number of TV cameras and reporters who aren't normally here, for especially for an off-season practice. And I think they all assumed that Brady was going to be taking part in it. Then they get out there and they're all disappointed. And I think some of them had sour grapes and were like, oh, Brady didn't take part.
Didn't we know ahead of time that Brady wasn't
yes.
going to
yes,
be there?
Yes, we did.
It was in the both papers
right.
yesterday.
Well, no, even before yesterday, didn't we know that
he
wasn't
going to
be
there? First I saw it was in the paper. I mean, I knew that he wasn't going to be here because I'm part of the house organ.
No, but I thought it was common knowledge among the beat writers that
he
wasn't going to be out there.
I think that was yesterday. And yesterday's papers, so I would say Tuesday, they would have known about it. They would have had the knowledge.
Right,
because
they write about it.
They wrote Tuesday for Wednesday's editions.
Yeah.
And both the Globe and Herald both had references to the fact that Brady would not be on the field yesterday.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't know about that any time before in terms of publicly yesterday. Now, I had heard from being here that he wasn't going to take part in this one and probably would be
next
going forward. This was going to be for younger guys,
right.
guys and newcomers.
New guys and young guys, right.
Right. So. Okay.
And really with the exception of Fred Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Chris Baker.
Vinny
Churchu.
Churchu. Correct. I asked
those
him
are like the
other.
You can read your quotes now. Sorry.
No, it's not. He. I mean, he spoke, but he didn't really say anything.
I'll just read them.
Shattering.
You printed them. Read them.
I'm feeling great and just excited to be out there on the field training with my teammates. It's always fun being back in this competitive environment and working with these guys to try to make 2009 our best season. Been fun to be back. I think everyone's excited to get back on the field, see what we're capable of. And then just the fact that he's disappointed that they didn't make the playoffs last year and have a chance to make a run at it.
Something special? Didn't he?
Yeah, I think everybody is excited at this point. It was a tough year for us not making the playoffs last year, being 11-5, not having the opportunity to advance in the playoffs and make a run. It's been a long off season for everybody. I can sense the excitement. We've got some great veteran leadership and a lot of youth and energy with our rookies that hopefully we can build into something special. And that's the extent of it.
Everyone sucks but me. So that was that. No big deal.
Yeah, it's not like he said, you right. know, he gave details of how his rehab is exactly going. And the,
there was no breaking news.
No,
nope.
None.
But it was, you know, just good to hear it from yeah. from him. Rather, I mean, everybody obviously is well aware at this time that at this point, and we even had Lucky on Tuesday tell us that he saw some video of him
sick.
At the Patriots show. So we all know that he was been out in the field and working out and all that stuff, but it's nice to hear from him himself, Brady himself.
Yep.
And be looking forward to see him on the field hopefully next week.
Yep. The 28th, right? We'll be out there
the
again.
The 28th next is the one. Next time that we have access to that. So I would imagine it's going to be the same kind of thing, probably another three-day camp where –
Yeah, it's the 26th, 27th, 28th.
Right. And we'll be available – we'll have availability the last day like we did this time.
And we'll be blogging yet again. Paul's Calls.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Do you like our lame names on the blog?
The what?
Lame names.
I like it. Paul's Calls and From the Heart. What's yours, Eric?
BS from ES.
Well, that's what Andy suggested. I was thinking Eric's Extra Points.
I don't like it.
No, not bad.
Maybe.
It's not as catchy.
Yeah.
We had a comment suggest Eric's Excrements.
Okay. All right.
My name has been criticized. Some people think it's kind of
G-A-Y.
G-A-Y. But others said it was good because I'm normally making fun of gay things.
I think Todd weighed in on that, and he said it was a little undrafted corner out of LSU.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm starting cornerback for the New Orleans Saints-ish.
Yes.
How about Vino's Wine?
I'm not whining about everything.
Nobody knows him as Vino.
Scalavino. We'll call him Vino.
Well, I had a lot of things with like Pip.
And you get wine,
Pip's
Vino.
Tips.
Or how about something with Scal?
I got the wine and the... Jesus.
Scal?
Lubricants.
Something with Scal, maybe?
Scal's pals.
Gays, says.
We're trying not to do that.
Sorry.
We're trying not
you,
to do
you
that?
You forgot to tell me why when we started trying not to do that
again.
Why
didn't you tell us
We've
when we're trying not,
trying
to, do
not
that.
To do that?
Yeah, right up until you stopped trying. Right. We went like one show where we didn't make fun of him at all, and then you started making fun of him, and... The floodgates open, so to speak.
Let's see. Larry the Drunk says about my Twitter account, please, Fred, change your Twitter picture. You look like a pedophile.
Yep.
For some strange reason, when middle-aged men put pictures up on social networks of just themselves and not in a group, they look like sexual predators.
Yep.
Have some dignity, Fred. You're not Eric.
Well, there's nothing
Who's
wrong
this
with
idiot?
Your Twitter account there, Larry.
Larry
that,
the
that,
Drunk.
That's what he looks
that
like.
Explains that.
That's taken from his iPhone in the palm of his hand, right?
Yeah, I just put it in front of my face and clicked it.
That's clicked it.
Oh, boy.
See, now you just told them that you were trying not to do that.
But there are a lot of them are really undrafted cornerback out of LSU. I mean, Greg Aiello, I think, has one. It's like him walking on the beach.
Right, that one's,
there's nothing really much you can put there. It's going to end up looking gay.
Right.
Unless you're like, well, strippers is like a hot naked girl with like her nipples covered with hearts. But most things look gay there if you actually put yourself in it.
And what's yours? I haven't seen yours.
I don't know how to do it.
What do you mean? Come on.
What, to put a photo in?
Yeah, it tells you right there how to do it.
Where? Not one place did it ask me what I wanted for a picture.
You set up your profile, you upload a photo.
I have like two brown circles or something.
Yeah, that's the generic. That's what everyone has.
There'd only be space for his eyes and his nose anyway.
That's true.
So that's not the point.
Well, I called myself Jumbo Heart, so maybe I'll get like the elephant from Tufts.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Huh? Your face with the big ears.
So
how
do I do that?
You go in your profile. There's a thing.
But I would have to save the elephant from somewhere.
Yeah, you'd have to have it on your desktop somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, get more to do a
project
little,
for the afternoon. Maybe me blended with the...
That's what I said. You put the trunk and the ears on your face.
Oh, I got the
That's
trunk.
It. Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
All right.
What
else from yesterday? Anything? Any nuggets? Anything you want to talk about?
Oh, I do have a little nugget, the type of thing we can only talk about this time of year. Terrence Nunn, the guy we talked about and wondered why he was not anywhere last year. He claims he has no idea why he was not anywhere last year. He said he was surprised. Very early on, his agent claimed he had some contact with a couple teams, but he never got tryouts, phone calls, anything. And he, again, said he has no idea why.
How did this come about?
He was working at a gym in Houston, and Nick Caserio called, and he was very excited.
So the story is that there's
no story.
Right.
And I said to him, I said, it feels like I compared it to a credit report. They always tell you to check it in case things that aren't really true get on your credit report. It feels like he must have something on his, you know, whatever the resume that floats around the league is. And Paul said, you know, he played for Bill Callahan. Is it possible Bill Callahan hated him and then badmouthed him to the league? Who knows?
That's the only thing I could think of. Like, is that he got blacklisted somehow.
And when we brought up the fact that he dated a playmate, he got very uncomfortable and started like looking around and laughing and said, "Wow, everything really does get out there." And still one of his best friends, though, the playmate that he dated. Still very
good,
close.
Good circle of friends.
Okay. Good friend to have.
According to the Raiders website, well, not the Raiders website, but several people talking about the Raiders OTA, Derek Burgess was not out there, and that's fueling the flame for a possible trade. And, of course, the Patriots are the number one candidate there that people are talking about. What do you think? Have you heard anything on Derek Burgess coming to the Patriots?
No more than
you've heard.
Initial
probably.
Stuff.
Yeah, that rumor's still out there, still circulating. The only thing about the OTA is that Burgess never participates in the...
So this isn't any different
right.
than any other year.
It's the story that I read said he hasn't for years. He works out in Mississippi by Mississippi State. Yep. He went to Ole Miss, right?
Ole Miss, I think, right?
But he works out at Mississippi State in the offseason and never goes to, never attends voluntary offseason workouts.
Michael Vick, I mean, that was one of the hot topics going around yesterday. He's out of jail. He's not reinstated yet. I guess, I don't know what Roger Goodell's waiting for. He's waiting for some type of meeting with him or some sign that...
He said he wants... genuine remorse to be shown by Vic.
How is he going to show
I don't know
that?
How he hasn't really defined what that is in his mind.
Yeah. Pet a dog.
But
well, he's working with the
MSPCA.
PCA, certain number of hours a month or something like that. So that's one step. What do you guys think? Would you take him on the Patriots?
No.
Yes.
Eric says no. Andy says yes. Paul?
For the Patriots, I wouldn't because I don't think they need him. I don't think that's a need, but I wouldn't be dissuaded into picking him up if I needed the player. I just don't think the Patriots need the player, and they certainly don't need the aggravation.
Right.
In my mind, I would rather see a world that he doesn't get picked up by anyone.
I agree with that.
Now, why is that?
But that's complete fallacy. So I understand that I'm wrong on that.
He paid his debt.
He did. He did. He deserves the opportunity. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with you.
He served his sentence, Fred.
He deserves the opportunity to go back. Well, how do you pay your debt if you don't serve your sentence?
I have strong feelings about that particular issue.
You think he deserved more than 2 years in jail for killing dogs?
Animal cruelty?
Yes,
you're
I
about?
Do.
But why is it any different than...
He deserved more than 2 years in
rape
federal prison?
Or drunk driving or all the other things that are on the records of many, many NFL players.
I'm not saying that those don't deserve more, too. But I'm just saying it's... I think a lot of these guys get away too easy with stuff, especially when...
He's just not one of them.
No, but... When these guys,
if anything, I think you could argue that he really
twice as long
took it.
He was in.
These guys who
he
get
was
in,
made an example of
in bad trouble, though they come out having this sense of entitlement, like they deserve to be back in the league. Well, just because you served some time or paid a fine or did some sort of punishment for what you did, playing in the NFL is a privilege, not a right. I think the further punishment
don't they have
should
the right
be,
to go on with their lives.
I don't think it's a I think you have to work your ass off to get in the NFL. I don't think it's a privilege. There's only a select few that are good enough to do it, and they deserve that opportunity.
Right, and the ones who get it and then screw up royally like that don't necessarily automatically deserve to come back.
But isn't inalienable right?
Now we're
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We're talking about two different things now. Now you're talking about whether or not he should be allowed back in the league. And before you were talking about 2 years in prison for killing dogs isn't enough.
Yeah, that's my opinion. I don't think it is.
Well, that's two different arguments that you're arguing there. Whether or not you think he should be reinstated into the league and whether or not you think he served enough time. I mean, what would be enough time? If he's 5 years in prison, 10 years in prison? I mean, Pac-Man Jones is yet to serve a day in prison.
I'm not saying
that
that's good,
for actually paralyzing human beings.
Right, and I'm saying that he should have.
And we're criticizing Michael Vick for only spending 2 years in a federal penitentiary?
I'm not saying that what Pac-Man did is right, and what he got was right. I think he should have gotten more time, too. He should have gotten some time to begin with.
But I'm asking you, what would be enough? 5 years? 10 years? What would be enough?
I don't know.
For
I can't put
Fluffy.
I can't put a number on that. I don't think any number is enough.
See, no number is enough for killing dogs.
No, I don't think so.
But
what happened?
So why
don't
we just put him to the gas chamber? I mean,
I'm just
we
saying,
just go back to like
that's
go
my
away Nazi
forever?
Germany.
That's my personal opinion about that particular subject.
What about if it's manslaughter, like Leonard Little?
I thought he got off scot-free. I didn't think he should have had a chance to come back in the NFL. That's a great example, Fred.
Okay.
People just sort of forget that he killed this woman because he was a drunk driver. I think that automatically deserves not being allowed to come back in the league. I know it's called collusion, but the owner should say if someone's that irresponsible, they don't deserve that this second chance.
Okay.
You deserve a second chance in life, but not necessarily to play in this league. To play in this league, you should be an upstanding citizen. Well, you do something like that, get the hell out.
No league then. Because,
I know, but
because
these
you'd
guys,
have about 5% of
I mean,
your
really,
league.
This is Fine. All they have. This is their life. This is all
too
they,
bad,
you know?
Fred.
That would be a great sociological experiment to see what pro athletes in all sports would do if they didn't have their pro sport.
Right.
Yeah, too bad if they don't.
What I think makes it fascinating is, like, your reaction is, oh, that's terrible. But it's terrible because our society says it's terrible. Like, there are so many things that happen in different cultures, different societies, or even our own. Like, why is it okay for them to, like, for you to have your veal parm? Like, these animals that are raised and slaughtered, and it's not all that different. It's just because society says one is part of our food preparation
system. You can eat one and you can't eat the other.
Or, like, you know, the bullfighting and the running of the bulls and the blood pudding and all these rituals that happen, and I probably don't know, there's probably thousands of them. But in our society, right. Dogs are pets, and if you're mean to dogs, you, and I just, yeah. It's such a strange issue, and not even to go into
issue.
The culture he comes from. You know, I think this is an example of a guy who, I don't know whether he's changed now or not, but a guy who got caught up in money and ego on one side, and hangers-on and a subculture that most of us know nothing about on the other, and those came together to create this world he lived in where he thought it was okay what he was doing. It was part of his life. And that doesn't make it right or wrong, in my opinion. I don't come from that, so I have no idea.
Do you really think he thought it was okay what he was doing?
If he sat down and like a priest made him think about it, probably not. But in day-to-day circle of life, yeah. People he went with, yeah. You know how you get... I mean, look at the drug culture in Major League Baseball.
I've done
those guys knew they were doing something
wrong.
But every day, they went with other people who did what they were doing, so that makes it okay.
You watched The Sopranos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember the episode where, with Joey Pants, I forgot his name on the show, but Joe Pantoliano's character, mm-hmm. He cuts off the head of
the
horse.
That wasn't the great... Oh, the horse. I thought
yeah.
For Tony. Yeah.
For Tony's horse.
Yeah.
And when Tony found out about it, he went ballistic. And Joey's reaction was, it's just a horse. So in his mind, the character's mind, he couldn't care less what he did.
Right.
Right.
Because it's just an animal in his mind. He doesn't look at it, to Andy's point about, you know, whether or not he thought it was wrong. Whether or not he thought it was wrong, he didn't care whether it was wrong. Because he just saw it as an animal.
Right.
And I think in Vic's case, it was the same thing.
But
I don't think
whether he knew
or not,
that
I don't think
what
he
they
cared.
Are, though. I mean, let's call it what it is. There are dog lovers in this world, and that's fine. But they are animals.
They are animals, but that doesn't make it right for how you treat them.
But
to
why
you,
is it any worse than catching
you,
a fish?
Right. To someone else,
it's a
they
fish.
Might look at
we
it as
haul
just
in
an animal.
Fish every day and eat them and kill them and whack them with a bat to get them in the boat.
I think it was a despicable act.
In
I think,
Vietnam,
and
it's lunch.
And I'm not exactly.
That's
I mean,
what
I think that's
is
Andy's,
so fascinating.
I think that's Andy's point.
Is who decides what's right and wrong, what's
me,
an animal, what's a pest,
why
a
you're a vegetarian.
It was
too,
a horrific
there are people
act.
Who don't
right.
think you should do that to any animals or fish or whatever.
But I mean, think grass is a living organism, so you shouldn't eat that.
I mean, I don't think there's any excusing what he did. It was a horrible, horrible act. But he served 2 years in jail for it.
Right. Well, and
I
the
just
side
don't know
issue
how much
is
more
the gambling
you could get.
And the organized crime, and that ties into it, is another... muddies the water.
Sure,
here.
Sure. And they got him with all interstate stuff too, as well. So
there was a lot going on there, and there's a lot going on if you're going to take him on your team.
Now, how much do you let it weigh into your mind? And it certainly seems that he's greasing the skids here for some sort of reality show to try to get some money. Does that factor into Roger Goodell?
I think it does.
See, I
it
don't.
Factors into me, because if that's what he's doing, I want no interest.
Yeah, Vic is looking profiting
for, no,
off
I'm
of
not
it.
Talking about whether or not I want to get him as a football player, but whether or not Goodell should say, well, you obviously, the guy's got no money. He needs a means with which he's going to be making $10 an hour, and he's starting from zero.
Right.
He needs something to
yeah,
support
he's only
his,
allowed to
his
keep
kids and
like
his fiance.
A certain amount, and everything else goes to
what happened to all the money
goes.
He made before he went in jail?
He lost
Gone.
It.
He lost
Yeah, how?
They estimate that he lost about $100 million.
How?
Well, the various
legal,
people he had to pay.
Yeah,
and legal
fees and fines.
Yeah.
And that's part of going to jail. You kind
$100
of,
you
million?
Know, and a lot of this money he hadn't really made yet.
Right.
It was just part of his contract.
Part of his contract that
which
he lost out on.
Which he actually got lucky that they didn't make him give back portions
he'd be
of the signing
more
bonus.
In debt.
Yeah. And he's still in debt.
Plus,
now.
He lived the life. I mean, he
that's
the
what
life
I'm saying.
Pissing away the MC Hammer, piss away money.
He should have had money when he came out of jail. Is my point.
Oh no.
He should have had some money.
It's all gone.
I'm saying he should have. He shouldn't have wasted it all away before he got in trouble.
Oh no, I don't think he wasted it all away. I think he just lost
some of it. Did
no, I'm sure he has. He bought cars.
I remember
cars
reading
things,
the exact.
But he has no. But like, he has no assets now. He's lost all of that.
No, I know. But he was like doing the Elton John thing, where Elton John's minimum payment on his credit card is like $700,000 a month.
Yeah, I'm sure he was
Michael
spending.
Vick had that.
But I also have heard what Fred just said about $100 million that they estimated he lost just from this.
Well, because he lost all his endorsements. He lost his contract. He lost everything.
Yeah. So he is starting from ground zero. He's probably starting from less than zero because he still owes. Now, I agree with Andy. If I'm the Patriots and I might be interested and I know that he's dealing with these other things, maybe I'm like, well, you know what? He's distracted. He's looking at still.
We don't need that.
I don't know if I need that.
I wanted him to come to me, a broken man, that I can utilize as an athlete who's going to do everything I ask him to. He's trying to rebuild his image. What better place to do it than with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots, all that. If he comes in here still a star, still with the swagger, and maintaining the guy that got in trouble in the first place, I have no
looked
interest.
A little puffy yesterday, do you think? Some of the shots?
I didn't see any shots of him.
Looked a little bloated.
Do you think whoever signs him is going to have to deal with, I don't know how long it's going to be, but months, years, games worth of PETA protests at all the games and all
PETA.
This kind of stuff.
There might be some, but
yeah, I wouldn't.
You know, one of the things about the
wouldn't
stadium.
Wouldn't mind seeing some of them get taken.
No,
down
but I'm saying
the next
maybe not.
Room.
Okay, I'm just using PETA as an
no,
example.
But, no, I think you're right. I think you will.
PETA's allowed to be on a sidewalk, but like stadium grounds, they can't be in our parking lot. You know, they couldn't come to Gillette Stadium and go in the parking
but
lot.
But it's still a hassle to have your security remove them. That becomes like a side issue.
No, it is.
But I hate PETA. Never has there been a... I mean, in general, I agree with what they're trying to do, but the way they go about it and everything is just ridiculous.
Yeah. They're like the and people,
they're over the top
they're like
on the
people
other
people blowing
end.
Up the abortion clinics.
Right. They're just as bad
or
way
worse. To do it.
Right.
And, you know.
And Fred, the Patriots continue to show up on all these people's lists of potential suitors for Michael Vick.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. Why
not? I'm not sure either, but... Yeah.
Why not? We wanted Pat White.
It seems like anybody that's out there.
I understand that Michael Vick might not be in a situation where he's able to pick and choose. There might only be one or two teams that are interested. I don't know. We'll see how that all plays out.
And I'm not even convinced.
But I can't imagine he wants to come to the Patriots and not be a quarterback.
I'm not even convinced that he's going to get reinstated this year.
No, I don't think. I think
2010 is when it's.
I don't think
happen,
it's a foregone conclusion. I think you're. I don't disagree with you there. I personally would, based on precedent, but I don't think it's a lock.
Josh Tolles says that Eric is wrong.
All right. I doubt
first
it.
Of all, the horse.
I agree.
First of all, the horse was burned on The Sopranos. Second of all, it was dollar signs to Joe Pantoliano's character, not just a horse. He did it for the insurance money. That was how he justified it to himself and Tony. He needed the money.
That's right. It was, he did burn the thing down.
I doubt it.
Cedric from Knoxville, why not? Why do you not give a break for Michael Vick? He paid his due. He just killed dogs. I mean, come on. What this whole thing is about. That's what this whole thing's about. People kill other people and don't go to jail. For example, Dante Stallworth. Let Michael Vick play in the NFL. It was a mistake from his part. That's it. Leave him alone. Dog fighting is legal in some countries and not punished.
Not this country, jail. Moron. No.
Or he may or he may not, but certainly, it hasn't played itself out.
Certainly yet. Looks like Dante Stallworth is going to jail, first of all. But...
And there are some different. I mean, first of all, the killings are different. If you put the human being if you classify them the same, one person intended to kill Michael Vick intended to kill.
There's no question.
Dante Stallworth. Now you can say the moment you take the drink, you are making the decision. Blah blah blah. But he didn't. It wasn't premeditated murder.
Right.
Michael Vick premeditated the murder of these dogs.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I
and that's if you put the
that.
Guy
I,
and
I
the
hear
dog
that a lot.
On the same
I hear
plane.
That a lot on the radio, and I think the same thing to myself. I mean, I'm not excusing it. It's something that obviously, you know, we shouldn't do. But who among us hasn't been behind the wheel of a car when we probably shouldn't have been?
Right.
And the only difference between us and Leonard Little or Dante Stallworth is we were fortunate enough to thank God. Never had something like that happen.
Well, there's also different groups of those people. There's the person who has the terrible fortune of the one time they drive drunk, hit somebody. Then
or
there's
the
person
who does it all
17
the
time. DUIs on their resume and
no
kills somebody.
No question.
Those are different people, too.
But I think the larger point is the one you made, Andy, in that when you do that, your intention is to go home. You're driving yourself home. You're not intending to... Let me see if I can get a couple of dogs here and smash them into the wall with my car.
I mean, look at Congress is, and our leaders in Washington are all up in arms about the waterboarding thing and closing Guantanamo because of the so-called torture that goes on there. What Vic did to these dogs is no less than what allegedly happened to the terrorists, let's keep in mind.
And is worse because they weren't enemies.
Exactly.
I
they're helpless animals.
He just took them and said, I'm going to
do
they're
this. Useless.
This is
they're,
part of
right.
On the phone right now is Mike from Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I didn't expect this intellectual conversation so early in
on this show.
Yeah. You know what? You tune into PFW in Progress, Mike. You never know what might happen.
That is true, Paul. I want to talk a little bit about Vince Wilfork, and you know, I think you know the whole Jason Taylor, is he coming here? Is he not? Has sort of taken over what I really wanted to see accomplished this offseason, which was, you know, an extension for Vince Wilfork. I know we drafted Ron Brace and other defensive tackles, but I think right now there's no one better in the league that does what Vince does, and I'm kind of disappointed that we haven't signed an extension with him. Do you guys think that maybe that's all to do with the CBA sort of ending? I mean, it doesn't sound like... Is also we're going to get, you know, screwed if we get into the playoffs and in 2010 we don't have a CBA signed.
Well, I think the CBA probably has something to do with it, but even in a normal year, I think when a guy is of the caliber that you said, and I agree, he may be the best nose tackle in football, you're talking about a contract, you compare it to the other defensive lineman that just signed, Albert Haynesworth. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking $40 million in guarantees, it's never going to be easy no matter what the salary cap is or what rules you're working under. So I think that's the biggest issue. He's looking to get paid, and until he gets paid, he ain't signing.
And I think you also had the uncertainty of the draft when a lot of that was first coming out. They didn't know how many, you know, they had 11 picks. They ended up with 12. They didn't know how many they were going to have, whether they were going to trade out, have fewer, have more. There was the whole Pepper speculation or Jason Taylor and needing cap room for that. So I think they wanted to see how that played out a little bit too. So
I think
there were a lot of factors involved.
There's a lot of moving parts, and the Patriots like to err on the side of let's let time make the decision for us and see what happens rather than rush into things.
Yeah, they've kind of been burnt there.
Sometimes
with Deion Branch and Asante Samuel.
I think they've done better when they've signed guys ahead of time. I don't think they've been burnt once by that, really. Maybe Jarvis Green.
Yeah.
But really, most of the guys that they've signed ahead of time have gotten pretty good value. Rabel, Copen, who else?
Light.
Well, you know, obviously Brady. That was kind of not really.
Without saying.
But they have signed a number of guys ahead of time, and I don't really recall too many times that they've gotten really burnt by that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just surprising to me because, I mean, like, the two players I never wanted to see go down during the past couple of years have been Vince Wilfork and Tom Brady, because on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, who else are you going to put in there? Richard Seymour, he's not really that – he can't really fill that role anymore. And Mike Wright, no offense, is not, you know, in a Pro Bowl lineman.
No. He's not even a starting caliber lineman in my mind.
Certainly not a starting caliber nose tackle.
Right.
But I'll make all the Patriots fans happy here. I'll make a prediction.
Pain.
I don't think he re-signs. And if you've been paying attention to my predictions lately, that means it's signing is probably imminent. But I don't care. I'm being honest. I don't really feel like it's going to happen. I think the Haynesworth thing that Andy talked about is something that Vince has in the back of his mind, and I don't see
and
the
Bianca?
Patriots giving him that kind of money.
Plus, I think that if he doesn't sign, something else will happen, you know, big.
Well, another factor,
right
too.
Right now?
Well, by the end of the season.
Another factor, too, Paul, is the big TV deals that just got announced. You know, there was the deal with Comcast, the Fox
the extensions
and,
through 2014.
And CBS extended their deals, not by as much as the last time they extended them, not nearly as much, but they're still...
I thought the Fox and CBS one were still... waiting to go through.
No, they
got done.
Yeah, yesterday they announced it got done. 2% increase over what they were paying previously. for each of them, which is not nearly as much as like the 29% or 25% that they had gotten the previous time they were negotiating. But still,
in this era, 3% yeah. raise is good.
And that's kind of what that's kind of what they cited was the whole economic climate right now,
yeah.
and the fact that the NFL is sort of posturing to have money in reserve for that rainy day when, let's say, worst case scenario, there is no CBA deal done in time for when it ends. But I seem to think that it will, but that's another factor in the Wilfork thing, because now these teams suddenly, the league suddenly has a little bit more money in reserve, and that might be a little bit more reason for a player like Wilfork to say, well, now you have a little extra money, now I'd like a little extra money.
I mean, the other thing is with the, you know, NFL Players Association, you guys talked about this on Tuesday, asking for, you know, the owner's books. The issue is that the owners keep saying that, you know, their costs have gone up, you know, tremendously because now they're operating stadiums instead of just leasing them. So, from cities and towns. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that whole thing plays out.
Yes, indeed. It's a very complex issue.
All right, Mike.
Thanks.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for chiming in. Mike from Sharon.
Speaking of complex issues, where the hell's my calzone?
All right.
I didn't understand any of the lip reading back there.
They left it, and Christina happened to be there buying lunch, so she will bring it down
for you. Oh, wow. That's huge. You owe Christina.
And you get your lunch delivered by a hot woman.
I just want my lunch. I don't care how it gets here.
All right.
But doesn't that mix all the best of both worlds? Food and...
Yeah.
You know, hot girls.
I don't really like to mix hot women and food. It's like when they have legs and eggs at the Foxy. I've never had any interest in eating around strippers.
How about just hot food and women?
What?
All right, no. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Saturday, May 30th, Boston-based band Lansdowne comes to Gillette Stadium for an exclusive pregame party before the New England Revolution take on conference rivals DC United.
Still have got this story not too long ago.
The party kicks off at 5:30 p.m. with an exclusive set from Lansdowne. Appearances by the Rev Girls, imported and domestic beers with discounted food, capped off by two bitter rivals facing off on the field. Limited quantity of tickets are available for just $35. This ticket gets you access to the pregame party, a seat in the fort for the game, and a limited edition Revolution t-shirt. Don't wait. Order yours today by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Lansdowne, the Revolution. The party never stops at Gillette Stadium. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button. Can you read some of the tweets?
What?
why is it that you almost never say unbelievable?
Oh, God. I didn't
just
say
go.
That.
Just go.
I didn't say that.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right. Hey, in about 10 minutes, Andre Tippett will be coming down. So we can talk to Tip about what he's up to in the outside linebacker position, because he's a little bit familiar with that position. Just a little bit.
A little bit familiar.
So he'll be down in about 10 minutes. On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What's up, Jim?
Okay. I'm always amazed at the amount of topics you guys throw out there. We've had thus far, we've had waterboarding, terrorism, Guantanamo Bay, the economy, dogfighting, Michael Vick's incarceration. Have I missed anything else?
Tom Brady talking to Patriots today, the Sopranos.
Passing camp.
Tom Brady, yeah, that's pretty incredible stuff. Hey, I could chime in if I could on Michael Vick's whole situation, if I could.
Sure.
You will not meet a more less enthusiastic person of Michael Vick as a person or as a football player, and here's why. I thought when he played football, he was a great athlete playing a position, not necessarily a quarterback. I think there's 2 years incarcerated. He's going to come back, and even if he, by some degree, comes back and plays, he's not going to help anybody this year. He's going to have to redshirt, in essence. Maybe a couple of plays here, a couple of plays there, but anybody who thinks he's going to come back and start is really deluding themselves.
I don't know. Some of those football, those jailhouse football teams, they're pretty good.
Wouldn't that be why he'd be a good Patriot as a backup quarterback and maybe a couple plays here or there out of the Wildcat? I mean, you're not looking for him to come in and be. You're not Detroit needing a starting quarterback.
I thought you meant because
no, you're
he was
not.
Out of
but
jail.
He's going to be. If you bring him in, though, you're going to have to say to yourself, it's almost like T.O. in a sense. If you bring him in, yeah, he makes plays for it, but will he disrupt what you have as a team? And any team that brings Michael Vick in is almost going to be. It's certainly a groundswell of discontent or whatever. People will protest the team. How can you do this? This guy's a scumbag. And I would tell you all this. He lost 2 years of his life in prison, probably $100 million in essence because his contract got voided. And I would still tell you this. The man deserves a second chance because nobody, I challenge any person in the world to show me somebody who gave away more, threw away more games, threw away more money and opportunity than Michael Vick. He's paid his debt. I say move on. You know what? And I think, and here's a real thing. I really believe this. In about 2 years, he'll be out of the league anyways, because if he can't run, he can't play quarterback. And I'm not so sure at 30, 32, when he's lost a step, if Michael Vick can't beat you on with his legs, he certainly couldn't beat anybody with his arm. Yeah. Nothing he's done up to this point, all through college, all through high school, and all through the pros, I've never seen him, like, you sit back and say, that was a great throw by Michael Vick. You can say many times, that was a great run, but never a great throw. And 30, not so good to be a running quarterback at 6 feet, 200 pounds.
All right, Jim.
Okay.
I can't argue with that. He's not winning too many games with just his arm.
Right.
Yep. That's Jim in Texas chiming in on Michael Vick. Got a lot of emails about Michael Vick since we started talking about it. Let's see. Robin writes in, and he or she is from Alaska. I'm not sure.
We do have a Hall of Famer in the room.
I'll tell you, there's a he, and he's
here. I know Andre's
here
for a second, but we told people 10 minutes. I'm giving him a chance to just sit down for a second.
But his time is valuable.
Is your time valuable, Andre? You got some place to be.
What time's the
driving range?
What time's the tea time today?
Yeah. Well, okay.
I might need to see Mr. Kraft.
Okay. Well, we'll get Andre's here, and we'll get to all these emails in a bit. And how you doing, Andre?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys, man. I'm glad Mr. Hart invited me here and to be with you good guys. And so, yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you had time since they've getting you to suit up, and you're probably coming right out of the OTAs and the weight room.
I'm good.
Need some help at pass rusher.
I'm good for one snap only.
One snap?
Like Rudy? A game or just one snap?
I can do one snap a game.
Oh, a game?
I can look the part, man.
I say we sign you up then.
Are you guaranteeing a sack on that one snap?
I might.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, he gives you 16 snaps for the season.
That's 16 sacks.
Well, let's say he said he might. So let's give him 10 sacks. It's worth it.
Absolutely.
Well, he'd be the first Patriot with that many sacks since him.
That's right.
That'd be Pro Bowl material right there.
could get me in. They'd have to designate a special pass rusher, part of the Pro Bowl, and I could get my, you know, add on to pad my Pro Bowl.
That's right.
Be like the emergency quarterback. Yeah. Our emergency pass rusher. We can only pull him out once a game.
Yep.
And he's getting to the Pro Bowl for that.
Third and 17. Here comes Tip.
Designated.
Pin back his ears.
Brett Favre has nothing on me.
Yep. Guys are about the same age at this point, right?
So what are you up to? I know that you're doing a lot with the community. You were just doing some type of commercial?
We just shot a community outreach piece for the Children's Hospital that's going to be running probably sometime in the near future. We got Matt Light to do the voiceover, and it's regarding depression, which is another one of those things out there that no one really talks about and doesn't understand the how hard that hits. And Children's Hospital has reached out to the Kraft family, and in return, we reached out to one of the players who got right behind it, and we just finished taping it, so it was good. We just finished up Stand Strong. We had the Sports Museum here the other day.
Yeah,
got a chance to let them take a look around and see our place and see the Hall of Fame. That was a lot of fun. They had the little program last night. Got a chance to speak to some of the play, some of the kids that are part of the program.
Yeah. Get the license plate raffle.
We got the license plate raffle going on, and we're actually in Rhode Island. Just about.
Oh, is that going to
happen?
Just
about. Okay. Just about.
Well, wow. Well, that's big news. We shouldn't say that it's a done deal. But
it's not a done deal.
People should know, you know, for a couple years now, you've been able to get a Patriots license plate in Massachusetts. But obviously, you have to have a car registered in Mass to be able to use it. But I guess they put a bill up in front of the Congress in Rhode Island to do the same thing. And it looks like it's got some legs. It might happen.
It got a lot of legs. Yeah. We've been working closely with some of our senator friends within the state of Rhode Island, and they've been nothing but very gracious to us. And
They should be.
It's a hotbed of Patriots fans
in Rhode Island.
Absolutely.
But this is the first. Eric, you're a Rhode Island guy. Mm-hmm. This is the first, right? I mean, I don't see Rhode Island license plates with. They don't have all these, you know. Massachusetts has Cape and Islands and Red Sox Bruins.
Rhode Island has children, and they have like a Mr. Potato Head Hasbro thing for like Hasbro Children's Hospital.
They don't have a lot of them.
No, they're very few. There's a veterans plate. There's very few. Massachusetts so has this, a ton.
That'll
of them.
Be unique to get the Patriots out there.
They have like
there.
A Buddy Cianci caricature.
You actually pay him directly to get that plate, and then he makes it because you know, spent some time.
I think there's an informal artist plate there.
Oh, wow.
But it's going well. We're doing a lot of things, just like you guys are with PFW, and as you guys are preparing for a training camp within the next 2 months or so, we're just treading along.
Yeah.
Is this a challenging time to be in the charitable business as the economy gets hit? It seems not only the rich people have less money, but the people that may have just given $100 don't have that $100 to give anymore.
It is, and we're trying to be very creative in our ways of basically convincing people to stay with us, and we're trying to make it convenient for them to make it easy when they go back and present reasons why they're planning the Patriots golf outing, the reasons why they're coming to the Patriots gala, the foundation, what is that all about. And you know, it's our foundation umbrella. It's our way of giving back to the community in the New England region, and it's money that we sort of depend on to do our outreach. But it's coming along. People are still with us. We haven't, you know, given up on that.
You mentioned the golf outing that's coming up in June.
June 8th.
Are there still openings there?
Still openings there. Yeah. We'd love people to reach out to our either community fairs or our marketing department, and they can get all the information they need. They can go on our website and get the information. But that is
if you want to meet Patriots, that's the way to do it, because it's almost mandatory.
Well, now is your foursome set, or are you still available?
You know what? I might be up for hire this year. You know, I'm kind of freelancing it this year. I think my group may not be there this year.
If you're really looking to make some cash, I think you put a PFW foursome out there. You advertise that heavy.
Yeah.
you know, for the opportunity to play, yeah, and try to shoot golf balls at Andy's head.
Hey,
oh, that, well, that would be easy. That'd be like shooting at the sky.
You know, we're in it to win it, though.
Yeah, oh, then never mind that.
Then forget us.
I don't know. You told me you were in it to win it during the longest drive contest 2 years ago, and you hit a pop-up that went 10 yards.
Hey, you know what? That was embarrassing, too, man. But we
and
won.
I'm not letting you forget about
it. Yes, it certainly was.
But you know we won, though, that day.
I remember hearing that, yes.
Yeah, we won. We won. You know, they were like, what are you doing? They kept looking at me. My foursome was like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you know, everybody's hitting the ball, so I'll go over there. And they said, come on, dude. That's not what we're here for. We're here to win. You want to hit long drive balls, or do you want to play and serve those shots? And so I was kind of in between, you know, the right side and the left side.
They were kind of talking to me,
mm-hmm, man. Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah, this there's some big-time prizes, too, you can win in that, you know, cars and flat-screen
fancy
TVs.
Cars.
And
watches.
And this year, aren't they doing a little different, whereas in the past they did it the Sunday after the mandatory minicamp, and this year it's before the minicamp?
It's varied, I think.
Is it different this year?
Yeah. I believe it's before the minicamp. Yeah.
So they all have to be here, and it's always a good turnout for
it
the
players. Before this year. I believe it was before last year, but you're right, Fred. It's been...
Other years it's been afterwards.
Afterwards.
Yeah. The Monday after the
minicamp. It's still a Monday.
Yeah.
But it's before minicamp this year, mm-hmm, and I know at least a couple of times it was after minicamp.
Yeah.
All right, now that we've gotten the politically correct crap out of the way, let's talk some football. What do you think about the hole left at the pass rushing position with the trade of Mike Vrabel? And, I mean, you know some of the guys that are obviously in line to compete for that job. Pierre Woods has been here now 4 years. Sean Crable's been here for a couple of years, even Vince Red. Just what are your thoughts on some of those guys and the challenge they face trying to fill that void? I mean, he was an all-pro 2 years ago, Mike Vrabel, and now he's gone.
Well, I think it's an opportunity. Well, if you're a football player and if you're worth your salt, you look at it as an opportunity for me to get out there and take my snaps, get my shots. When they do one-on-one pass rush, make sure I'm ahead of the line, working my technique, doing the little extra things that I need to do in order to contribute at some point when my number get called. I know all of those guys, all the names that you named. I think those guys are all worthy of that. It should be interesting. I think it'll be a great competition this summer for someone to step up and take on that role. Now, we have Adelius, who is very capable of being that guy. I have no doubt about that. I'm not his coach. I'm just going off of what I know and have seen him do in the past. I think it's an opportunity that he can pull it off.
Can you sort of kind of give us a rundown? Obviously, you played that spot for so many years so well, Tip. What are the different things you need to do? We throw out the terms all the time, setting the edge on the run and being able to rush the passer, being able to occasionally drop in coverage.
Right.
Specifically, how tough is it to find guys with all of those different kind of traits?
You gotta have the skills. You just can't wish yourself in saying that, you know, well, coach, leave me on the third down and long group and the nickel or the dime group and I can do it. It's done now at these passing camps. It starts again in training camp when the groups break up, O-line, D-line, got a pass rush going on. And you ask, hey, coach, can I go down there and get some rushes in, and you got to do it every day, even when you don't want to do it, because there'll be times in the dog days of training camp that you don't want to go down there wrestling with those big guys, and those are the times that you got to go down there, you got to watch the ball, you got to react to the offensive lineman, you got to work the swim, the rip, the club, the speed rush, and you got to put all of this stuff together so you can have this as part of your repertoire. And you develop all that in training camp.
So
you show the coaches you can do it.
Now, you were also a scout for a while for the Patriots, so you've done that. We're going to be going to training camp, okay? We're going to be seeing all these guys. We're going to be seeing Red and Crable and, you know, all the guys, Pierre Woods, guys that have a shot to be that starting outside backer to replace Mike Vrabel.
Right.
What would you tell us to be looking for? What should we be looking for?
You'd watch that opportunity when they go pass rush, And you'd look down there and see if you see three or four of the linebackers down there with that group. And what you're going to do, you're going to probably see them taking a couple of rushes from a two-point stance. You're going to see a couple of them taking some rushes from a three-point stance. And you're going to watch for them to, as we say, as a pass rusher, you want to be able to get off on the ball. You got to be able to see that ball out of the side of your eye. You got to have watched the offensive tackle and know what his weaknesses and his strengths are. And if he is a guy that can't get to that junction point fast enough, then you're going to use a speed rush. And then if you think he's quick enough to get to the junction point, then you're going to try to use a power rush. Yeah. So you want to watch for these guys to be able to do all of these things, how they get off the ball, how they use their hands, how do they stand up to the challenge when all of a sudden Matt Light or one of those guys stabbed him in the chest
right.
with a nice hand punch to just kind of take them out of their rhythm. And pass rushing is part of getting off the ball, having a rhythm, understanding that, okay, he took the junction point off me. Do I have a counter move? So you got to look for counter moves. You know, speed, hands, toughness, and just sheer determination. Yeah. I mean, pass rushing, there's a lot of things, but if you don't have that determination and that passion to make that work, just like playing outside linebacker, you have the passion to play the position, and you know you got to play with your hands. You got to be able to take on a tight end. You got to be able to play the run, get off, and make the tackle. You got to drop to the zone. You got to go man to man. All of that stuff takes time and work, and you got to have the passion to do that also. And pass rushing is no different. You got to give that the same attention that you do developing your linebacker inside outside skills.
How important is it, and you just mentioned all the different things that position has to do, and one of the things I think that made Vrabel so good was his versatility. He could play the run. He could drop a little bit into coverage, pick off a pass every once in a while. He could get to the quarterback. How important is it to find a guy who can do all those things as opposed to maybe finding that Pierre Woods is our best outside linebacker in this group against the run, but Sean Crable is the best pass rusher? How hard is it to maybe try to have sort of a platoon there with a couple different guys playing, especially in today's NFL where offenses, you know, they're so much targeting your strengths and weaknesses and game planning and taking you out of position? How hard would it be to have a couple guys try to fill that void?
Well, you hope to not get yourself pigeonholed. You want to be able to interact, interchange with all of those guys in any given situation, because there might be times you don't have enough time to get that
right.
group out there because that offense knows that.
Right.
So they're going to go hurry up.
That's what the Patriots do all the time.
Yeah, don't right. give them a chance to get those guys out
right.
there. So everybody has to know that you got to be working your pass rush stuff, because you know what? You're going to be called. We can't depend on Pierre, or we can't depend on just Adelius. We have to be able to depend on all of you guys when you're in that position, you're out there on the field to pull this off. So, you know, I think everybody should go in to training camp with this in mind, that I'm going to be that pass rushing guy. I'm going to be that guy to kind of add to that and on top of my other.
Can you imagine
quality.
With your skills, the money you'd be making today?
My wife keeps reminding me all the time.
You know, you look at what Julius Peppers is going to get eventually, and he's never even played the position.
Wow.
He just thinks he can play the position. Can you imagine?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, my
it
God.
Is. It is.
What are you, about 15 years too early? Somewhere there?
But you know what? Every generation is too early.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
If they
yeah.
look at what, yeah. yeah.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely.
You could have come along the 50s, and they would have given you right. $5 and kicked you to the curb.
Right.
You know, Tip, we've heard how a good pass rush can help out maybe a secondary that's not quite up to par. But the flip side of that argument is true, too, isn't it? If you have a good secondary, that does help out the pass rush somewhat, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It you know, I've had success because we've had, at one point, we had two of the greatest cornerbacks to play the game. Mm-hmm. And then there were times where we had to have the safeties helping out the cornerbacks and leave an extra linebacker out there to help the cornerbacks in order for us to generate a pass rush. So, yeah, it can go either way. You know, you can be that person that creates that opportunity for that cornerback, or the cornerback can be the person that creates that quarterback to hold on that ball just one more second, just enough time for me to get off of that guy or get around the edge either get a hit on him or just get in his face just to disrupt his rhythm.
Yeah, that's true, because all your sacks were covered sacks, if I recall.
All of them.
All 99.
All of them.
He said
100.
He said 99.
He knows my movie idea based on Mr. 3000. They find out that he really only had 99 career sacks.
So
now's your opportunity. Now's this year.
I say you have a ceremony and you bring back Ken O'Brien just to decapitate him one more time.
No, you know what? Maybe that's the reason Brett Favre comes back, because he laid down for Michael
Strahan.
So, you know, maybe we could get you your ceremonial 100.
Absolutely.
Hey, Tip, I wanted to ask you, too. One of the things that Bill talked about at the draft when he didn't choose an outside linebacker was he didn't feel there were a lot of guys that fit the kind of profile that he likes. He thought there were a lot of 6'1", 6'2 guys, not a lot of 6'4 guys that ran the 4'6". Do you think that's sort of a prerequisite to have that kind of prototypical size and speed?
Well, in a lot of ways, yes, you need it. I mean, Bill's used to those type of guys. Mm-hmm. He's had a success rate with those type of players, that type of MO, and you match up better in situations with guys of that size. And
how do you think the height helped you?
Well, you know, it for me, long arms, long legs. You know, there are times when you don't even have to get to the quarterback. If you can just get somewhere in the general area and just put your hands up, mm-hmm. that's good enough. You know, not necessarily getting the sack. The sack is nice. Having that, you know, on the stat sheet is good. But you can still have success just getting around and in the vicinity. And as he's getting ready to go through the throwing action, you put your hands up and it's going to screw him up. So, you'll have better success rate with a guy that's 6'4 versus a guy that's 6'1.
You get a guy like Willie McGinnis, okay, who, you know, coming out of USC, he was supposed to be, you know, the next Andre Tippett, the next Lawrence Taylor. He had those kind of the frame, and people thought he was going to be that good. Then a lot of people thought he might have been misused, and when Belichick came here, it kind of resurrected his career. He had some really good years when Belichick came here. I don't know if you agree, but let's assume that you agree. Maybe he was a little misused early in his career. If he had been used right, would he have been a guy that, you know, at outside linebacker that we'd be saying now, wow, he was one of the best?
Probably so, especially given Bill's ability as a coach and ways of bringing out the best of his players. You know, you can continuously look at what he did when he was in New York with LT. And obviously, LT is not LT without Carl Banks, without, you know, Reasons, without
Carson.
Yep. Without the defensive line that they had. They had great defensive lines over a period of 10
Pepper
years
Johnson,
or so.
Right?
Pepper Johnson, all of those guys. You don't have those guys, he can't utilize LT the way he did. And, you know.
Yeah, you got to have the room to let this guy do what he
you
does.
You
got to
have
right?
the other pieces that team concept.
Yep.
But yeah, given that same situation here, and had Bill been here probably from day one when Willie first came in, he would have done some tremendous things with Willie. Willie had this unbelievable quickness and speed, and people don't realize pass rushing is 10 yards. 10 yards. It's not a 40. It's not a 50. It's 10 yards. And to close the distance 10 yards, Willie was probably the best at that because of his burst, his great burst, his size, and his strength. And it would have been amazing what could have been.
Yeah, I mean, he had a long and productive career. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know.
But, it's hard to be all of those things. It takes a lot.
You'd be hitting the jackpot now.
It's all of those
just keep
things.
Sticking that knife in a little bit,
right.
But turning it around.
But it's passion too, man. I mean, you got to really, you know, you can't be distracted by anything. And you know, for a long time, all I thought about during the season was football. And as corny as it sounds, that was it. I just wasn't distracted. I came in. I did I came to work. And people would say, you know, you're going to practice today. You got to be at practice. I'm like, well, I'm going to work.
Going to work.
And it was my brothers remind me of that when they were a little young. And I'd come home and, you know, they'd say, hey, how's football going? How's practices? I said, well, work is good. And I'd always refer to it as work. I said, I have a job. I said, I'm accountable for being there and producing. And see, it's not practice. Practice is something else that you do in high school, right, maybe in college. I said, but professional football is work. And but I had a passion for it. I had a passion for all those things that I said that these guys have to do. You got to be there for the drill work. You have to do the drill work constantly. It's just like anything in life. Whatever you try to become good at, you got to practice at it. Be it the linebacker drills, taking on people, the one-on-one pass coverage, the backs, the tight ends, all of that stuff. You got to put in there. So when the game comes around, you're prepared. You have something in your mind on what you're going to have to do. You've studied the players that you're going to play against, and you know what their MO is. And film is not overrated. Film work is not overrated. It is something that you have to do in order to have your success and catch little things that are going to be good for your game.
Yeah, the great players, you always hear about the time they spend in the film room. That's why I really have such high hopes for Mayo. I mean, he's a film junkie. He loves it. Oh, yeah. You know?
He's going to be good. He's going to be
pretty physically talented, too.
Well, no, but that, you know, that a lot of these guys are physically talented, you know. But,
you know what? He's heard that not only from Coach, not only from Matt Patricia, but he's heard it from myself. He's probably heard it from his coaches, college coaches. He's heard it from other guys around the league. He's probably picked guys in my, hey, man, what do you do extra? You know, hey, what do you do? And everybody to a man will tell him, got to study that tape.
Yeah,
you got to study a tape. You got to study a tape all week. You got to spend 30 minutes after practice. Get in before practice. Spend 30 minutes watching. You'll be surprised how much more recognition you'll attain by doing all that. And that's all it is. I mean, I studied the tight ends. I knew what their strengths and weaknesses were. The tackles. I knew what I'd have to face, given one-on-one opportunities with them. I knew which backs wanted contact and who avoided contact. So I knew that, well, I'll hit him with a power rush. He's going to duck. He's going to get out of that. Or, oh, this one is tough. He's going to take me on. He's going to compete a little bit, but he's not big enough to take me on physically, so I'm just going to just go power rush him.
Right.
So I always had that in the back of my mind every time I face somebody. Yeah.
How has film study changed, do you think, from when you played till now?
Oh, it's a beautiful thing now, man. These guys can take stuff home in a laptop now, you know, and that's, you know, it used to be, you know, who had a 8mm camera to take home? You know, if you invested in one, that's one thing. But it's like, you know, you'd have to worry about, okay, the DBs are taking the tape home tonight, or somebody, the coach is going to need it for tonight. So, you know, it was limited in how many copies you can get and all that stuff. But now with the internet and the streaming of video and all that stuff, you put that stuff on a laptop, and these guys, they get it. They take home assignments now on tape to study. What a beautiful thing to have your laptop. Flip it up, open at home, and watch it for about an hour or so, and you're prepared.
And they've got it quick.
We see guys doing it on the plane all the time.
Yeah, they've got it fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Matt from Dartmouth, Mass. says, I was hoping you could pass a thank you to Mr. Tippett. I may never get the chance to do this in person, so it would be greatly appreciated. He was and still is my favorite Patriot of all time. He was the reason I started to watch and play football. The reason I asked for this thank you is because during my first deployment to Iraq, through Jeff Breitenbach, he sent me a personally autographed photo. As simple as that may have seemed, it was the only bright spot during that time period and was a huge morale booster. To me, it was more than a picture with a name. So thank you from Matt Chandler.
Matt, you're welcome, baby.
All right. Well, that's Andre Tippett. Andre, thanks for stopping by.
Guys, thank you. It's fun to be with you guys.
Sorry we didn't get you lunch.
That's all right. I saw Andy over here chomping down. He didn't even offer me a
He didn't offer you a damn thing.
You want some fried dough?
We got a couple crumbs here if you want.
We introduced Alex Smith to fried dough last week. If you want some fried dough.
I might have to get a little piece before I get out of here.
Some fried dough.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Take a break. That's Andre Tippett. We'll be right back.
Saturday, May 30th, Boston-based band Lansdowne comes to Gillette Stadium for an exclusive pregame party before the New England Revolution take on conference rivals DC United.
So I've got this story not too long ago. September brought love songs, November came.
The party kicks off at 5:30 p.m. with an exclusive set from Lansdowne. Appearances by the Rev Girls, imported and domestic beers with discounted food, capped off by two bitter rivals facing off on the field.
Limited quantity of tickets are available for just $35. This ticket gets you access to the pregame party, a seat in the fort for the game, and a limited edition Revolution t-shirt. Don't wait. Order yours today by calling 1-877-GET-REBS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Lansdowne, the revolution. The party never stops at Gillette Stadium.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you could do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW Progress, Andre Tippett stopping by in the house. Good of him to do that. And some good talk from Andre. Some good insight.
He seems pretty high on Adelis Thomas, maybe filling the void.
Yeah, he likes Adelis Thomas.
And kind of stepping up to the plate and lifting his game, which is a lot of our listeners kind of said last year before he got hurt, maybe he was, you know, improving in that outside role and that pass rusher. If he had a great year, that would certainly go a long way towards taking some pressure off Woods or Crable or Red or any of those guys. Yeah. I mean, if Adelis Thomas could put in a 15-sack season or a big season like that, that would be
huge. It's funny, too, if the rumors are true about Burgess, the guy from the Raiders, that if he comes here and he ends up getting the other side.
Yeah.
You know, Tip talked about how it's important to have the taller guy, like Bill said.
Thomas would have to be.
Well, you'd both have guys who are 6'2 playing on the outside.
Yeah. Well, is Tom is a little bit in 6'2, isn't he? Like,
no, he's
6'2.
That's all he is?
Yeah.
He looks bigger than 6'2 when you talk.
Because he's like 270 he's or 260, whatever
it's weird.
That he is. But
he definitely looks taller.
He is a much bigger guy than most of those guys that play, you know, like Pierre Woods or Crable.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys are big, too.
Well, Crable is. Well, Crable is a tall, imposing figure.
And, but.
He's
but
just an
Thomas,
inverse pyramid.
I mean, he. Well, but Crable's got to be, what, 30 pounds lighter than AD?
Oh, yeah, at least. Yeah. Tall in the legs.
Got the thing here. Let's
see. Robin in Alaska says, please don't ever consider reading my email over Andre Tippett being on the show. This is Andre Tippett we're talking about. And yes, I am a guy.
AD is 270.
Yeah, see, that's
243.
And Crable
so almost 30 pounds, yeah.
243.
Yeah, I mean, Kirkland from the
so like almost 30
the Steelers was abnormally large for a linebacker.
But he was
fast.
A middle linebacker.
Right.
That's what
right.
made, that's
right.
was completely yeah. freakish that
but
he could move like that.
The one thing, based on what we're reading about Burgess, you know, a lot of the reporters around here have talked to ex-coaches and this and ex-coordinator. He is not an every-down player at this point in his career and in this system. So
that's
even if he came,
yeah,
one of these
is this
guys,
the Raiders saying that?
No, it was like ex
coaches,
like
other coaches,
oh,
and
not somebody
other
from the Raiders.
No, people.
We don't listen to them anymore.
No, people.
They're the
that
ones that told us that Randy
past.
Moss couldn't run anymore.
Right. People, no, these are not no longer tied to that organization okay. if they were at all. But so there's still a need there for, and I mean, Pierre Woods is the logical guy. Right, I mean, he's been a
sure.
part-time
I would
contributor.
I think that he has the inside.
Yeah, yeah, I think so,
$1.6 million.
I mean,
you don't pay that to just anybody.
But that's a good point you raise, Andy. Think about that in terms. The Patriots are paying him more than the Dolphins paid for Jason Taylor.
Right.
Yeah.
So that shows you a little bit of what the Patriots must see in Woods. I have to think that he has the inside track.
And would hope that he
I would
is
think that
an every-down guy.
Bet on that.
Well, and I certainly perceive him as more capable on early downs than later downs. I have yet to see from him a pass rush that I would deem worthy of a championship-caliber defense. But if you get Burgess and he's that guy, well, now I feel
great.
Like Pierre Woods is
and
pretty
you're in,
confident.
And you're in sub-packages
right.
and stuff, and you can use a variety of different guys.
And Pierre Woods, with his hand down, you know, lined up with a guard in there, I think would have a chance. I just don't
or
think
maybe
he's an
on
elite
our,
pass rusher.
Well, you know, even if it's like on a first down, we always look at it as, you know, it's third and 10. This is when we need the pass rush. Well, there's nothing against sacking a guy on first
sure.
and 10.
Making it second
know?
And 20 or
yeah.
whatever.
And
yeah.
I think that you chip in that way and put teams in bad situations. I think that makes everything easier. Obviously,
trouble is, I
they
agree
struggled last year on first down and they struggled badly on third down.
Well, they just sucked on defense.
Right.
I agree with Tip that in this day and age, it's hard to be platooning. It's not like baseball where
yeah,
you
can't do
you
that.
Know going in. It's a lefty starter tonight.
I mean, the least of your worries to me is the no huddle.
Right.
It's hard to you're completely dictating to the opposition as to what you're doing.
Right.
When you have
and
you know, I remember Charlie used to talk about that with tight ends. You know, we had Rod Rutledge back in the olden days, you know, 2001. Rod Rutledge was the run tight end. Jermaine Wiggins came in to catch passes. It's very hard to operate your offense like that.
Yeah. Before we went to Andre Tippett, we were talking about Michael Vick, and we got a lot of emails about that. But first, before we get to those, old friend Gary Gradecki has sent us an MP3 email.
Nice.
All right.
So why don't we play Gary's MP3? Why don't we play Gary's
show.
MP3?
Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore.
Oh.
That's it?
Oh, Gary.
I wanted to hear from Gary.
That was
yes.
good.
You let us
play it again.
No, Fred.
Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore.
Grotekai.
I kind of had a warning
Rat
that was
bastard.
Coming. He wouldn't tell me what it was, but that delivered.
For the good of the show. I can hear him now. For the good of the show, Eric.
Well, yeah.
He says hi, by the way.
But that's why I think we should have a South Park open.
Grotekai.
I mean, we could have good opens.
Oh, yeah. We'll do one.
I had a little
yeah.
back and forth with Gary this morning.
So you were aware that this was coming?
No, not that specifically. He didn't tell me that at all.
But Robin, getting back to the Michael Vick topic, Robin in Alaska, his email was what I was going to read before Andre got here. He says it's an open and shut case for me considering the crime. I do not in any way believe dogfighting or abuse of animals is okay. However, Vick did his time. Apparently he's changed or is now constantly working on changing his lifestyle and mindset. He wants to make things right. Everything Vick and his handlers are now saying is correct. Sure, it could all be a PR firm, BS, but it's all we have. We cannot see the future or read his mind. I believe Vick has earned the right for another chance given he has submitted to our laws and served his time. At the same time, I don't agree that the NFL has to take him back. Playing in the NFL is not a civil right.
No, I don't think they have
That's
to
what
take
I was
him.
Saying earlier. Right.
I don't think they have to take him back. I think they should. That's all.
I think they have to.
But I thought you also
said
earlier
that if they don't take him back, they need
to
kick other people out.
He wouldn't play in the league.
No, if it was up to me, I wouldn't sign the guy. He would have every right to play in the league. If I was a team and I was a team owner, I wouldn't want any guys like that on my team. Therefore, I would finish in last place every year.
To me,
I am,
it's discrimination.
And Fred will tell you, this my rank goes back to 2000. I would be the absolute worst GM in the history of sport because I would try to have good people on my teams, and I would lose. It's a fact. I would lose.
Stripper says that Eric is just upset because Adam Lambert lost American Idol.
That's uncalled
stunning
for
upset.
Strippers.
Stunning uncalled upset, for. Strippers.
Strippers is mad because I made fun of his Aqua Teen Hunger Force nonsense earlier.
Okay.
I know he's. I know that's just the anger talking, Strippers.
Daniel
no anger coming back at you, however.
Daniel says he's got a comment and a question regarding the Michael Vick situation. The main reason why dogs are held to a different standard than mere animals is because hundreds of years of breeding and domesticating has made animals like dogs and cats frequently coexist with humans and thus closer to us. Don't get me wrong, though. PETA is just a few steps above Hezbollah. On another note, did Tianoi Samoa, most likely spelled completely wrong, get signed by the Bills, or is he still available?
I don't believe he signed.
Yeah, I think he's still out there.
I don't believe he signed either.
The smoke diminished from that fire, too.
So he's still out there. He's a smaller guy. He's like 6'1".
He's an inside guy.
He's an inside guy. 240.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not sure small is the right word, but
we've been talking about outside backers. He
He'd be an inside linebacker,
but it wouldn't be bad to get another inside guy.
Oh, I'm all for it.
Yeah, well, probably
don't forget about Gary
Guyton.
Not forgetting, but I said it would be nice to have another one. Just like it was nice to have another safety, not just worry
about
Tank
Pierre Woods. I think this team is very high on Gary Guyton.
Gary Guyton in a sub role, I'm okay with.
Yeah, I think Gary Guyton's role is a sub.
Play every down, it's Jabbar Gaffney, diminishing returns.
I like Gary Guyton, and I think that he has a place here probably for a while as being a good fixture in sub packages. I don't know if he's going to be – I mean, listen, the guy could develop. He could, you know, get some differences to his game, changes in his body and whatnot, but I didn't like what I saw of him on an every down basis. But I do like him a lot. Love his athleticism and speed.
Mike Wright. He's Jarvis Green.
Yeah,
good role
player. I like
him
in that role.
More than that, you lose.
I'm very high on Gary Guyton. I like him a lot.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut. Hey, guys, just a note on PETA. Check out the HBO documentary on one of the co-founders called I Am an Animal. It's entertaining for her sheer loopiness and the over-the-top methods she uses. She actually put something in her will to demonstrate that there's no difference between animals and humans. She wants her body served up at a barbecue.
Oh.
One of the problems of PETA, of course, is that it takes away from the solid efforts of other animal rights groups that don't resort to press-grabbing efforts. Anyway, looking forward to next week's media-friendly OTA. Maybe Crable will show off his calves.
He doesn't have any.
Let's see.
Fred, we're going to have to make some arrangements, too, because I believe the next three OTAs
are
all
show
fall
days.
On show days.
And they overlap into the show.
This is conspiracy. That's what it is.
So we're going to have to talk about that a little bit.
We'll figure it out.
Fred Kirsch solo shows.
Maybe they'll let us broadcast live from the OTA. There's no blogging or Twittering, but we can have a live radio show on the field.
Can't hurt to ask, right?
Right. Well, we're the in-house organ. We can do what we want, right?
Yeah. Let's go with it.
Hey, yeah. I think we should embrace our status as a bunch of shameless suck-ups.
Yeah. Let's see. Sheila in Clearwater, first of all, let me state, I am an animal rights person. I think that what Vic did is horrible. Personally, 2 years is not long enough, but that was what he was sentenced. End of story. He should be allowed to get on with his life. His career as an NFL quarterback, everyone keeps saying the NFL is a business. It's up to the owners to either hire him back or not. If a team wants him, he should be allowed to play.
Word.
And P.S. Here. Also, as part of his probation, I'd like him to be made to work at an animal shelter. They always need volunteers. Working with animals can change a person's whole perspective. Also, do you know when in August that fans are allowed to watch practices?
Late July.
Yeah. I think late July is when the public practices will be open.
I would say that first week of August is prime time for you. For you. First week, week and a half, 2 weeks of August. Chances are any day that you would be interested in coming or in that time frame, you'd probably be in luck.
Okay.
He is doing
stuff with
the MSPCA. I don't know exactly what it entails, but he's doing something.
2G writes in. We haven't heard from him in a while.
Thank God. It's been good.
What is this all?
He says he produced the South Park Open a few months ago. Tell the doctor to find it.
Doctor, find it.
It's on the replay somewhere.
Doctor's on the phone. Not paying attention.
He's talking to two gender right now? No.
argument wasn't that.
I'm not arguing with you.
No, not with you. I'm just saying about Vic. I also don't think he was that great a quarterback to begin with. So any team that wants to sign him, I think is foolish if they're signing him either to be their number one guy or even their backup, because I don't think he was that good to begin with.
Well, he's one of the quarterbacks that are in the league.
He certainly won a lot of games.
He won some games,
who wasn't
sure,
that good.
But he was a great athlete, but he wasn't beating you with his arm. I think we mentioned that before. And
But
he was beating you. I mean, I would argue
he's not a great passer. First of all, he has a great arm. He's not
he has
a great
strong
passer.
Arm.
I would argue with you,
but he makes some throws. Yeah. He's a 50% passer instead of a 60% passer.
I'm not saying that this is an all comparable, but I would argue that Tom Brady, early in his career, didn't beat a lot of teams with his arm. He beat them all with his head. And making the right decisions. Now he does it in all ways because he's developed so much over the years. But I don't care how they win. He won a lot more games than he lost as a starting quarterback.
I'll buy that.
I'm not a huge Vic fan. I'm not. But
I don't think
to look at the starting quarterbacks in this league and to think he's not good enough to be one of them. I think that's just
he's thrilling to watch play.
It's the dog killing hatred.
I just wouldn't be very confident as a fan having him as my lead quarterback of winning a Super Bowl ever.
Right, and
I would agree.
Paul said, you know,
I wouldn't want him as my quarterback. I agree.
Paul said that Brady beat you with his head a lot early on. I don't think Vic's beating you with his head.
No, he beat you with his legs. What's the difference if it's not the arm? It's something else.
Okay,
he beat you. What difference does it make?
Eric likes cerebral wins.
We also don't know how well those legs are going to hold up after not having played football for 3 years.
A lot we don't know.
They're probably in better shape now than they were when he went to prison, no?
He's doing squats 8,000 hours a day.
But, I mean, he hasn't taken a beat in the last 2 years.
Josh,
I have no idea.
Josh says, would I take Vic if he were available? Yes.
Me too.
Says Josh.
Is that Josh in Arlington?
Yeah.
Do
I want him to be able to play football again? No. Playing a sport is a privilege, he says. It is not a right. He can make a living several other ways, and Andy is wrong.
Then the league has to kick a bunch of people out of the league. If you say Mike Vick can't come back,
this must be
a semantic
out
a lot of other guys.
Well, what job, what occupation is not a privilege?
Well, let me finish the email. Andy is wrong. The things on other players' records show a reckless set of circumstances, such as drunk driving and killing someone. What Vic did was different. The tendencies he showed while murdering these animals, usually considered a precursor for killing people, qualify him for a whole new level.
Let's go to Nazi Germany and exterminate him from the earth, because obviously there's nothing that he can do that's not a privilege. He shouldn't be allowed to collect garbage.
Serving time,
that's a privilege, not a right.
Serving time in a prison does not qualify Vic to play in the NFL again. It qualifies him for freedom within our society. Playing in the NFL is not a right. In most cases, others have been reckless and negligent. What Vic did was done with intent. Now, I think driving on the roads in America is a privilege, okay?
I would agree with that.
But playing, being able to earn a living
at whatever that you're talented enough to do
it
in is a right.
Is a right, I think.
It's the pursuit of happiness.
You know?
I think that's part of the reason.
That's why
we live
there
here.
Are laws against discrimination and not hiring people.
That's him being discriminated against.
Absolutely.
While no one else has the exact same negatives attached to them, other people have negatives that you allow to play.
Right.
So you can't just make lines as to, okay, this guy can be in, this guy can't be. I mean, he deserves the right. He paid the price.
And Eric is making the argument that he hasn't paid enough of a price. I disagree with that, but I'm okay with that argument in that. That's an individual, whatever you think. Okay, I don't think he ever should. He could stay in prison the rest of his life, for as far as I'm concerned, because what he did was that bad. And that's Eric's feeling. That's fine. But the feeling that he has paid his legal debt and now should not be allowed to pursue some sort of, life.
Right.
I don't understand that. I don't understand the whole right privilege thing. I think I'm getting caught up on semantics, but I don't understand why any occupation is a privilege.
No,
if you want to say he shouldn't be allowed to be, say, a senator or a president of the United States, yeah, okay. That's a little different to me.
Or like a dog walker. Like, I mean,
but
it's specifically tied to what he did.
He can't play in the NFL.
You know, if you're a child molester, you can't work in an elementary school.
Sure.
There's certain things that are taken away from you.
Right. I think maybe where you're getting hung up, Paul, is at least from my point of view is, yes, he has a right to earn a living now that he has served his sentence and he's out in 2 months he'll be out completely. But he has a right to look for a job and to try to gain employment. It's not a right for him to come back to the NFL, though. If he wants to play football and some other, minor league or Canadian league or an indoor league wants to hire him, and he can find a job there, fine. it's not an automatic right that he has to come back to the NFL.
But it's not automatic, but if a team wants him, they should have the right to sign him.
Yes, if the San Francisco 49ers want to say, there is no possible way I want to go into a season with Sean Hill as my starting quarterback and Michael Vick's available, I think that Michael Vick has the right to sign a contract with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, and I'm just saying...
But a lot of people don't, and you included.
Personally, if I were in charge of a team, I wouldn't want him and I wouldn't sign
him. Again, I wouldn't either. You know that we're coming from the same spot. I'm just saying I think he has the right to play. I don't think it's a privilege. I think that he is talented enough to play, and therefore it's definitely...
And then it becomes a business decision on the team's part.
Exactly. And if all 32 teams said no, I would be standing and applauding, Fred.
Yeah.
But that finally one of these bad guys actually pays the punishment for it.
And
but I think he should be allowed. I don't think it should be mandated that he shouldn't be able to play.
Now, here's the thing, Eric. Let's just say that, you know, he shows remorse. He continues to work for the MSPCA. He does all and says all the right things. But for whatever reason, Goodell says, no, I'm not reinstating you. There's a law. There's a lawsuit coming.
There should be.
Because he will sue the NFL for his right to play.
Not instating him this year or ever?
Ever. Ever.
Well, and the length of any added suspension could also lead to a lawsuit based on the precedent that's set with Leonard Little, Packer Jones, anybody you want
right
to list
things,
who
Goodell
has.
Goodell says, but because of what you did,
record.
I'm not going to reinstate you. He will have and it will be heard. It's not going to be frivolous.
No,
it's going to have legs
you're
and
right.
merit, and it's going to go to court, and there's a damn good chance he's going to win.
Okay. And how long would that legal proceeding take?
Oh,
could take 3 or 4 years, and by that time he's worthless.
But that's besides the point.
Yeah, and you owe him $100 million.
We're just talking about the case. Yeah, by the time
if you want to keep him out, you can, but you're going to pay through the nose.
Yeah.
He'll have his $100 million
back. There's going to be a price. There's going to be a price one way or another.
Yeah, but that case would have merit.
It probably would.
Unless he does something else to reinforce the fact that he's not rehabilitated or whatever. But other than that, that case has merit. So, you know, and that's the judge, right? We live in a country of laws, right? That's what we, you know.
Who's going to protect those laws? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
Right. TG says, after camera Spygate, you think
South
the crafts
episode?
Want the bad press that comes with Mike Vick? You guys realize PETA will be picketing Gillette. Don't forget, outside of New England, the Patriots have a bad reputation. I can hear the rants now. No surprise, the Cheatriots signed Vic, criminal player for a criminal team.
I never heard that one.
Please, PFW men, I'll take the Ocho Cinco before Vic. Funny thing is, nobody even knows if Vic can still play.
Well,
that's
true.
That's the other thing I said, too, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's valid after 2 years off for a guy who already was not the most accurate quarterback.
I deserve the right to bring him in, put him on the practice field, work him out.
And if
you so choose.
If I want him, I should be able to sign him.
I like the 49ers. That's a good idea.
Todd
says, strong African-American presence at head coach could be seen as a... I like that.
That's
Father
one.
Figure.
That's one of the teams that's been on a lot
Mike
of these.
Mike Singletary is going to be... the whole Vernon Davis and, you know, he'll... If he's not going to be in line, he'll whip him into shape or try to.
He'll go get a pit bull and have him chase after Michael Vick if he's not doing it right in practice. That guy's loopy. I'm sorry. He's not
tie
stable.
A stake to his ass. Yeah.
He's not stable. Singletary.
Pull his pants down.
Todd says, if Vick can run and throw, let him back in the league. Maybe it's because I'm from small town Nova Scotia, but I've eaten and killed steak that I knew the name of. Beezy was delicious, by the way. I eat lobster and put them in the sink and watch them fight then throw them in boiling water. People need to grow up.
You're also a psycho, Todd.
Well, that's true, too. But
well, now you got lobster rights?
That is true, but for different reasons.
Lobster.
It's an interesting topic.
Fish. People flush fish.
I think it hits home. And one of the emails, several emails ago, talked about how you have this difference with dogs and cats because they're domesticated animals and... They, you know, the perception is wholly different. Now, I would also argue that, and I heard people talking about this on the radio yesterday. Pit bulls.
Fred Kirsch moment. He's having a
curse moment on the microphone.
Pit bulls, which was mostly what was involved in this, and it wasn't all pit bulls, but for the most part, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You can't find anybody who has anything to do with pit bulls. That no one likes them, no one cares about them, but yet everybody comes out and. They're defending the pit bulls. They're defending the dogs now. And again, it's a horrific thing that Michael Vick did. I don't I think that he deserved to go to prison, and I think that he served 2 years, and I think that's
he
enough.
Did, but
that's I mean I'm fine with that, but I just think it's funny how when you do you ever go out and like walk in a park or something and see some guy walking a pit bull and look at the looks that he gets from the rest of the people that are there? No, you've never seen a pit bull?
Yes.
I don't know that I have.
No, yeah, I know. I know
Fred?
What you. I know sure. what you're saying, Paul.
Sure. I mean, you look at a guy who's walking around with a pit bull on a leash, and
first of
you
all,
think
most
that guy
would cross on the street to get to the other side.
Absolutely, and I'd be
yeah.
one of them.
Yeah,
I'd be one of them, no question.
But you hate dogs.
There's
I do, but that doesn't mean I want to kill them.
No, but there's a show on National Geographic called Dogtown. It's an actual place out
I hate
in Utah.
You too, but that's, you know,
where they
never taken
it's
a
like
shot
a big
at you.
Animal
they rehabilitate
sanctuary.
These dogs,
and yeah. they did a whole special on the Michael Vick dogs.
Yeah, they've actually done it.
They
with,
were brought in. They were called in to his home in Georgia to take the animals that survived and try to rehabilitate them and then find them foster homes. And they actually did so. And some of these pit bulls are the sweetest things you have ever seen. And
right.
they got adopted.
A lot of it is how
they
trained.
Saved a lot of these yeah. dogs from Vic's property and allowed them to yeah. find new and better
well.
Homes. And it's worked miracles. And it's, you know, pit bulls, I think, are trained that way and have become that species because they have such powerful jaws and they can bite. My dog was attacked by a pit bull a long time ago, and it was because it was brought up in that environment. It, you know, they keep it in a sheltered space. It could be any
well,
breed,
but
it happens to be pit
bulls. What you're saying is about 70% of the pit bull thing. I mean, but there is something about that breed, besides the jaw and how they're brought up, that lends to that sudden snap.
Well, you know, another breed that's like that is Dalmatians. Dalmatians are said to have
Dobermans
be crazy.
Are like
and
that?
Dobermans.
Yes.
But people don't get frightened of Dobermans and Dalmatians as much as they do pit bulls.
Yeah.
I don't like Dobermans.
Because I think
hang around me too much.
Well, you don't like, you are like Capello. You don't like dogs in general.
Yeah, but I mean, if there's particular, I mean, I'm much more concerned about crossing a Doberman or a German Shepherd than I would be, you know, I don't know. Some lab or something. Or
no, but like that
smaller dog
because they're generally trained by idiots. They're these big muscle-bound drug dealers
yeah.
that have
right.
them. Think they're. But the
they're
question
the most...
there is, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the drug dealers get them to like fight them because they know they're predisposed to that type of lifestyle
they might need,
and fighting?
They might need some help,
or you know what I mean?
I think they
clearly
they saw some of the traits.
Genetics.
They saw some of the traits that said this is the most powerful dog,
right.
and if we train it to fight, it can beat any dog.
Right. Yeah.
Just like a lab, they said, this dog is trained to go and fetch things. We're going to use this to hunt and to right. help retrieve things. They don't train labs right. to fight. They train pit bulls to fight.
Because they're predisposed,
to
right.
certain things. But if you don't train a pit
now,
bull to
ever,
fight, it's going to be a nice dog.
If you train labs to fight, Vic, then I would say you can't get back in the NFL. I don't care. Who doesn't love a lab? I mean,
Paul.
Come on.
Sorry.
Really?
Paul Perillo.
All right, let's get back to some football for the rest of the show. We've kind of done our due diligence with Mike Vick here. Calum from New Zealand writes in, first up, I want to say that I'm very keen to see fights talked about on the last show. Okay, so we're not going to fight pit bulls. We'll fight human beings. The matchup
we'll
between
each other.
The two London boys should be good. I would also like to see the throwing competition between Fred and Paul, was it? No, it's Andy. I'm sure you could sell tickets to both and put the videos up on the net. Now to my question. Regarding your discussion on Tuesday about Brady and the 2 years left in his contract, I wanted to ask, what is the most likely scenario when 2011 rolls around? Will Brady stay in New England, or will he go elsewhere? I'm sure a lot of teams out there will want to have Brady, and as a result, will be willing to throw a bucket load of money at him. Does Belichick have enough cash to keep Brady? Is it even about money for him? Maybe he has some special connection with the Patriots and will stay here even if he can get paid more elsewhere. Has last year's knee injury scared off what would have been potential buyers? What are your thoughts on this?
My thought is he might not want to play longer than this contract. Have you thought of that?
I'd be stunned if he goes somewhere else.
See, I wouldn't be. I think it's a great question, and I think he posed a lot of different plausible scenarios. I think he will be playing somewhere else in 2011, and I don't think it will have to do with money, to kind of answer two of the different parts. I don't think it will be because the Patriots aren't willing to pay him. I think he's going to look to go somewhere else to end his career, and I think that somewhere else will be California, San Francisco.
Yeah, I think he'll be a Patriot.
I think so, too, and I think he'll end his career shorter than people may have expected.
That's a possibility.
But I think that's what makes it a really interesting topic is I think that everything that was just said could easily be true. I don't really think there's a
right.
a no way that, you know, impossible scenario. I think it could go anyway. I mean, it could go absolutely anyway. I mean, what if he, I don't know, what if he doesn't really come back to the way he
was? Oh, then I think there's a chance he won't be. If he, I mean, I don't think Bill would have any problems if Brady is half the quarterback he was to, I mean, but by that time you're going to know. I mean, you're going to know whether he's Tom Brady again or whether he's just not the same guy. So I don't think the knee issue at that point will be an issue. It'll already be decided as to whether that was an issue or not.
On the phone right now is Salt. Salt, thanks for hanging on.
No problem, guys.
How's Peppa?
What's up?
She's doing good. Mike Vick shouldn't be a dog groomer either.
That's a privilege, too.
I got a question. I heard, Tom Moore basically retired, and he was hired as a consultant.
Right.
Yes.
I think the same thing might happen to Dante.
We haven't heard anything.
No,
like
we
that.
Haven't heard anything. So I'm assuming Dante is just going to continue.
He's out there.
He's out there. He was out there looking exactly the same way he looked the first day I started covering this team 10 years ago.
Shorts.
Yep. Short shorts. Short shorts. Running around with all kinds of energy.
But to be fair, I have to say, like Ralph Wilson, I still don't really understand the whole issue.
No, I don't either.
All the specifics of half the lump sum money and the
whether
it was an issue, whether it wasn't.
An 80% lump sum.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a complicated issue.
Do you guys know, like, the difference with how long, like, Tom Moore and how long Dante Scarnecchia have been in the league? Probably wouldn't, would you?
I'm saying, I'm going to guess probably around the same.
Wasn't Moore 35 and Dante's 32, maybe?
I'm looking up Dante right now.
Something like that he's been coaching for. Yeah. I mean, they're in the same ballpark.
Dante will be in his 40th coaching season.
The summer in college.
28th in the NFL this year.
Oh, only his 28th in the NFL?
Yeah, and 26th with the Patriots.
Huh.
He had that
right
little 2-year
the Colts
hiatus when he went to the Colts,
but they're both
Paul's looking up Tom Moore now
at the top of the pension plan, so they both be in the same category essentially.
31 years NFL for Tom Moore.
Okay.
45 year coaching veteran, 31 in the NFL.
So he's even older than Dante. Wow.
All
and,
right.
I'm coming up next month. You think if I buy you guys lunch, you give me the nickel tour?
Possibly.
Straight.
Possibly. Talk to Jason. We'll work out a date.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
Maybe you guys.
Give Pepper my best.
Well, if, you know, nickel tour, she'll be there, too.
Oh, nice.
Okay. We'll see.
I can give her my best.
Oh.
Wow.
It's a good thing we're trying to, stay away from that sort of thing.
All right.
If he goes, what?
When Salt and Pepper come here and say hello, it's seasoning greetings.
Every time you speak, it gets worse.
very funny, you guys.
David writes in, hey, guys, and Paul. Paul, regarding your baseball shirt you were offering to sell on Tuesday's show, I was wondering if it was waterproof, as I'm looking for a cover to put over my Range Rover.
Very well done right there.
Only kidding, Paul. A couple of over-unders. Ready? Fred Taylor, 700 yards rushing.
Under.
Under.
Over. Joey Galloway, 700 yards receiving.
Over.
Under. Push.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Push. That might be the funniest thing
I think
said
it is
today.
The funniest thing he's ever seen.
Wes Welker, 100 receptions.
Under.
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 Gerard Mayo, 145 tackles.
Under.
Tom Brady, 40 touchdowns thrown.
Under.
Under. Under.
Lee Bodden, 4 interceptions.
Under.
Under. Under.
Okay. Amount of yards Terrell Owens will get on the Pats over the 2 regular season games, 250.
Ooh, under.
Under.
Amount of women Eric has sexual relations with, not
under.
Including
under.
Taking photos of them.
Under.
2.
Under.
I'm not. No. I'm not doing it with you. No.
Push.
Push.
He
wow. Did. You got something going on there with 2 women?
Oh, at the same time?
All kinds of conversations I'm not privy to.
At the same time.
You had 2 women at the same time?
No, I was asking if that's what he was asking.
Oh, I was really going to have a
have
whole different level of respect.
No, that's, I mean, how many people really have, Fred?
So close.
I close. Did I ever tell you the story about when I was in Tampa?
No, yes. This one I'm interested in. Tell me.
I'm just going with yes.
Yeah, I
no, tell this one. I don't think
tell
I've heard
this
it.
One.
I can't.
Step up to the plate.
Tell it without getting yourself in trouble.
I'll tell you off the air.
Just tell it on
without getting in trouble.
Fred,
no
it's
names.
Good radio. People want to know.
Yeah. We're the opposite.
Open book. Life's an open book. Come on.
We're
let's go.
We're the opposite.
Nicky's not listening.
Let's
don't worry about
that,
it.
Let's
Was this in college?
Yeah.
We have conversations on the air that we wouldn't have off the air.
Let's just say I would have, but the other one wouldn't.
So. One of the women wouldn't? Yeah. So then I've almost had one, too.
So like, the third woman...
No, but we were together.
The second woman was into
like
it?
Talking
was there
it.
Touching?
Yes.
The second woman
three-way
was into
touching.
It, but the first woman wasn't?
Right.
Below the belt?
Okay.
Below the belt touching in all three phases?
Wow.
No.
I'm not talking to you.
Well, I'm just answering
Paul's having a conversation with himself. He's like answering questions that no one's asked him. It's like one of those guys in the street that just have this running conversation.
Was it a friend, the other woman?
Yeah.
Was a friend of hers or a friend of yours?
All of us. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
More a friend of hers, though.
Uh-huh. Sounded like she was more of a friend of yours.
So how close did it get to?
How close did you get?
Second base, third base.
I'll tell you after.
Second with one, third with the other.
Yeah.
Third with the other one.
Let's see.
Fred, it's good radio. Everything you tell Eric is you're breaking
exactly.
all those rules.
You're breaking
right
all the rules.
You cannot be
I
a
have
hypocrite.
To agree. You're getting flustered.
Talk
about it.
Don't
you're changing
swear.
The subject.
Don't say dirty words, but tell us the story.
How long did the first one last after that incident?
Oh, I can't. We'll talk about that after.
I'm so utterly disappointed in you right now.
Well, I'm a gentleman.
No, you're not.
Not really. Yeah. If you were, you wouldn't have brought it up in the first
right.
place.
So tell us. Spill it. You're being Eric right now. Do you want to be Eric?
Nah, nobody wants to hear about my escapades.
Yes, Menage they do.
Eric's
pretty
escapades
sure.
we want to
he
hear.
He doesn't
about.
Have any, so we have to hear yours.
Eric, what are you doing this week?
No, don't try to do that.
No, that's not going to work.
That right. is not going to... Tell us the story about your Menage. You have
no,
4 minutes.
No,
yeah.
I can't.
Maybe, why?
Maybe some other
no
show.
No one's... Is it because your sister's listening?
Well, could be.
Was her sister... Your sister was involved?
Oh, no,
oh,
no.
Now you're making me uncomfortable.
Oh, Eric! My goodness.
No wonder why she said no. My God.
Were they both hot?
We'll talk about it.
Both
no.
hot?
No.
No.
No. No.
One of them hot?
Now I don't I mean, even, now I don't even
acceptable,
want to hear
acceptable.
It.
Acceptable.
That is.
Believe it or not, too skinny for my like.
Oh,
too
not enough.
Skinny.
Bah.
Yeah.
You like the bah.
let's
so what happened? 2 a.m, a little drinking involved?
We'll talk later.
I am.
I'm not even going to ask it later.
You are.
Okay.
I only
want to
know. I only want to know on the radio.
You can never ask Eric anything again. You have lost all rights to pursue
mark
issues
tape,
in
doctor.
Eric's personal
this is,
life.
You know what? This is going to leave a mark. You are by far and away the favorite. This is going to hurt you in the, in the statue.
You
this
cannot you. Draw a line in the sand at this point in this show.
He's like he's presenting.
I've basically like, yeah, told sure. you what, I mean, you know.
You didn't, though.
One objected, so she had a lead.
But where were you when the objection took place? Pants were on the floor? Or?
In the boudoir.
But were you in the booty?
Not completely.
Just the tip?
Oh, I see what you mean. All right. See, now, that's just...
I think that's what he was looking to avoid.
You can't do
and you
that.
Ruined it.
You can't do that.
Like Bob LaBelle. You can't say that.
Andy's made himself cry.
Doctor is really embarrassed out there. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know if he should push a button or pull something. I don't know.
He's pulling something, all right.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition and perhaps the show.
And maybe our careers.
Oh, next week, more OTAs. Big weekend here at Gillette Stadium, NCAA Final Four lacrosse. If you don't have tickets, they're still available. It's an amazing weekend. It's fun.
Who's going to win, Fred?
I think Syracuse is the favorite.
They
that's
win
who Shaq
time.
Picked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at him pumping his fist behind the glass.
But
repeat.
I'll be there all 3 days, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, Dad! Yeah!
Patriots.com Radio.